Welcome to the 101st episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Today, we are joined by a very special guest, Gil.
It's Gil.
Oh!
Guess who came with the fucking air horn today?
Yeah, all right. I'm ready.
Gil, thank you so much for joining us on the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
I thank you for having me. I'm excited. I've been a longtime fan, obviously. This is, what, 101, right? I mean,
yes.
That's a long time. That's awesome. I'm very proud of you guys. It's a great show.
Thank you so much.
Trivia 101.
Yeah. You are a Southeast Floridian. We're on the Southwest side. You're on the Southeast side.
Central East side. Yeah, I'm literally between Miami and Jacksonville, like literally halfway point. So
you've been a part of our small circle of e-friends since LiveJournal was the big competitor to MySpace.
You guys remember that?
Basically.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That Russian-owned company that... Oh, wait, no.
No, they didn't take it over till later.
Yeah, no, but it's interesting, right? Like, LiveJournal, it seems like eons ago.
I'm just waiting for them to... I'm waiting for them to sell the rights of my my early 20s to some small production company to make a movie out of it. Just cannot wait.
I think the last prominent user of that might have been George R. R. Martin. I know he kept his blog on there for quite some time. And then I think just a couple years ago, he finally had somebody like code a new blog for him, but it's like exactly the same format. It looks like a LiveJournal. He was like, I want to keep it exactly how it is, but just its own thing.
Make this, you know, over here.
Yeah.
Probably a smart move.
Yeah, the internet was definitely a different place then. I still follow the guy who created LiveJournal, Brad Fitzpatrick. I still follow him on Twitter. He works at Google now. Like it's like he didn't even invent LiveJournal. He's a whole different person, right? Like,
right. That's just one stepping stone on his career path, basically.
He's working two spots down from Tom from MySpace.
Whatever happened to Tom? Does anybody know?
Pretty sure he's a venture capitalist, like a lot of these guys do. Like they get rich and then they go and seed other companies to make them even more rich.
Okay, so he hasn't totally disappeared.
No, I don't think so. Pretty sure.
He's basically a character from Silicon Valley now.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
he hasn't gone John McAfee.
No, that's... Oh, man. That guy. I didn't even... Like, I don't know. He just came on my radar like maybe 2 years ago back again, right? And I was like, wait, this is the guy who invented antivirus software? Like, who is this guy? He seems like a villain. Like, it sounds...
And he is.
Like, he just sounds made up.
He lives his life like a James Bond villain. Like, yes. You can see, you can imagine. And he probably lives that life. It seems like he presents it that way. Seems like he's always on the run.
Yeah. Did you hear his thing about, what did he call it? He's talking about tripping, but tripping and having a feeling. It's like I can't remember the exact phrasing, but I'll have to see if I can find it and post it in the Facebook, but it was an interesting take on using bath salts, apparently. Like, bath salts
are
the ultimate, he has
the ultimate high.
Yes.
The last interview that I saw with him, I think, was conducted by Vice, and he did not seem like in the right state of mind. I think he even pulled out a handgun.
Oh, yeah, interview. That's not surprising at all with him.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be like a boring Tuesday for him.
I don't know how you go from software development to that, but you know, be wary. Be wary as a coder. Gil, you are a coder yourself.
Gil probably knows a couple guys.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, yes. Sometimes these guys just have like a certain mentality, and then once you throw in like a lot of money, I mean, there's nothing to really check you, right? Like you've already done what you had to do. Now you have a bunch of money. Let's just explore all this eccentricity, right? Like,
maybe my favorite eccentric from this group of people would be Jaron Lanier. Are you familiar with Jaron Lanier?
No, I'm not.
He created the iPhone, and that's not the lowercase I iPhone. He created the EYE phone, which was actually like a late 80s, early 90s virtual reality device. That Apple actually had to license like the name iPhone from him, but he was around in early Microsoft days and stuff like that. And he still sticks around and gives lectures. He's not a venture capitalist. He actually has some ideas that I agree with, which is like you should own your own data and get paid for it. You should get paid a royalty maybe by social media, you know, for using your data. I think that is an excellent way to safeguard against some of the, you know, economic issues we might be facing in the future, you know, with AI, amongst other things that are going on in the world right now that right. are causing economic strife. But yeah, it's been crazy lately, hasn't it?
Crazy.
Not just lately. Let's say lately. Right, yeah. Hundreds of years. Right. Hundreds of years.
Yes, yes. I've been trying to reflect a lot lately about how, you know, when I was a kid, things like this weren't, you know, prominent, right? Like, we didn't have recording devices everywhere. And while it seems like things are just crazier now, it's just that they're recorded and shared more, right? Like,
right. And we're, of course, speaking about the George Floyd murder that took place that kind of sparked this. We're recording this on June 3rd, 2020, just for the, you know, the sake of history. We should mention that. And there are protests not just in the United States, but all over the world. And it's kind of gotten a little bit bigger than George Floyd, I would say. You know, this is a response absolutely. To a lot of different things.
A lot of built up anger.
What's your experience been like as a black geek, like, you know, in these circles, trivia circles, coding circles, or in general?
You know, I see a lot of people. It's, you know, it's weird to have a shared experience with people you don't even know, right? Like, just based on the color of my skin, like, I know exactly what they mean and see, right? Like, I don't know them personally, but I can read about their experiences and definitely can understand exactly what they're talking about. And I guess just it's kind of cool just seeing people finally, like, it's like finally something is, like, I feel really being done about it. You know, it's been a long time. You know, I was trying to think, like, Rodney King probably for me was the first, like, moment in my life and probably your lives too, right? Where, like, you were.
I was going to ask you about that. And Lee is a little younger than me. The Rodney King riots were in 91 or 92.
In 92, yeah. 91 92. Is when it's 92.
Going back to what you were initially talking about this, a lot of this stuff going on for a while, but now people having, you know, cameras readily available,
right.
And that along with the use of the internet, where not only do we all have something to record on, but we can immediately send it to thousands and millions of people. I mean, I remember seeing that camera footage from the helicopter of Rodney King being beat. And I actually had a friend message me while I was working at the mall on Sunday. The mall was closed down early because of protests, because of, you know, looting in different malls around in Florida. And the day that the third party autopsy came out, because the police autopsy had said, no, well, we don't really know.
Right, of course.
And then the third party autopsy obviously came out saying that it was death by murder by asphyxia. There was, you know, people's reaction now is like, okay, there's the initial, you know, backlash to bullshit happening. And then there's like there's always some kind of, whether it's, you know, whether or not the cop is charged or acquitted or a plea deal or whatever, or the coroner report comes out proving that this happened, where there's kind of like this, this ripple effect, like a tremor, that's like just as scary, you know, just as worrisome to like the minds of all the people that are already dealing with the first,
right,
you know, hit of bullshit.
No, absolutely. Like, so this happened, what, last Monday, like a week and a half ago, right, is when George was killed, right? And I heard about that story, like, that night. Of course, the recording came out. Everybody saw it. Everybody, I'm hoping, was appalled by it, right? But for me personally, like, it didn't really, like, affect me. Like, the hardest it affected me, I should say, is probably on Friday. Like, I was just really, at that point, just fuming, you know, and I was like on a roller coaster of emotions like the entire day, just of anger and just thinking of like how other people are being affected by this and seeing the good things that are happening, right? Like people coming together and peacefully protesting and not necessarily the rioting part, but I'm not, you know, that's the other thing is like, I'm not against the rioting either, right? Like a lot of this stuff is not going to change until you, I feel personally that until you affect other people's lives, like I feel like the protesting disruption. Is not disruption, right? Exactly. Like you actually will get the attention of these people, to maybe make a change. But like, of course, since then it's just been all over the place. Like, and as you said, Lee, like it's not just here. It's not worldwide. Like I saw yesterday, Paris was popping off. Like apparently they had a similar case a few years ago.
4 years ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, I was talking with some friends and like, they're saying even in Japan, they're protesting, which like, that's crazy for Japan. Like they're not, out in the streets marching. Right. Like
It's funny that you said that about, you know, initially your reaction, because the mall that I work at, I wouldn't say is predominantly people of color, but we're smushed in between, you know, Fort Myers and Cape Coral and Lehigh and all these places that are very, you know, Fort Myers is largely mixed. We have a lot of black people that come to the mall, and it's so funny to me over the last few days and the last week. It seems like there have been less white people coming to the mall, and it's almost been entirely black people, and they seem completely nonplussed. They seem like nothing has happened. And it just, to me, it breaks my heart, because what it's telling me is, oh, we've been through this. We've been through this so much. Like, this is not new. Like, when you see these lists of people that were killed, and, you know, it's obviously terrible that these people are killed, but the lack of repercussion is the real problem. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
The death is the real problem. I don't want
to, the 100 names on that hashtag list are the 100 that we know about,
right?
That we happen to know about.
And like, and if that wasn't bad enough that these people are being killed, whether it be an honest misunderstanding or just an outright abuse of power, the fact that these people are able to just go home and, you know, oh, take like a leave without pay. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And that's where we need to get to the understanding that there needs to be systemic change so that misunderstandings don't happen. Mm-hmm. They can't happen, because situations like Philando Castile or Breonna Taylor, it just can't happen anymore.
Right.
And it needs to be a systemic change.
And I think one of the issues, I didn't mean to cut you off, Lee, but
no, go ahead. Go.
One of the things I read about recently that I didn't realize before is that a lot of these people have what's called qualified immunity. Have you ever heard of that? QI?
I was recently made aware of this as well.
Yeah. Like essentially these people are allowed to do this. This is like an unspoken rule that they're not going to be prosecuted, like unless they really, really, really mess up, right? And it's insane. Like these people are supposed to be working for us, right? And I'm not saying all cops are bad. That's obvious, right? But when you're harboring and working with and trying to cover up things that other officers are doing in your department, like, come on.
Well, yep. I think that's where it gets to be for a lot of people hard to say whether or not all cops are bad, not necessarily doing what this officer did to George Floyd, but if you're standing by and letting it happen.
That's almost an argument that, I mean, honestly, I don't even care about having whether or not all cops are bad, because you're not going to get an answer, and no one's going to get an answer that they want, you know, investigating that question. But see, finding the systemic change, you know, and changing things like qualified immunity, and that's just in an institutional system. We also have our interpersonal household systems. Now, this week, I had to have a very difficult conversation with my daughter about racism, very honest. She didn't really understand what it was at all at the beginning of the conversation. And, you know, at 7, she seemed to have a pretty good understanding of it, an internal moral understanding of it, by the end of the conversation, which of course made me very proud. But I think that, you know, it's important for me as a father to remember that this is not one conversation that I'm just going to have at one night over dinner And then at the end, when I get a sense that, like, you know, my child is understanding what we're talking about and has a sense of the reality of the situation, that is not the end of that conversation. That is not going to be the end, because the system itself is going to reinforce racist, or has reinforced, you know, racist opinions and racist behaviors. And as a white person, it's my obligation and my duty to my fellow human beings that I cohabitate this planet with to talk about that and make sure that we don't fall into the same traps. And Gil, you're a dad. I'm sure you've had a totally different experience as a black father, raising your son and having conversations like this with him.
Yeah. So, you know, this past week, we've definitely had some conversations. We try to be honest with him as to, like, what's going on in the world. Whether or not he's able to fully comprehend it, you know, is one thing, but at least we try to share and talk about it. And he's, you know, seems to understand, like, he doesn't get why people do it, right? But he understands what's happening. And as you said, like, it's not going to be a one-time conversation, right? Like, unfortunately, like, as a person of color, I know there's going to be a time for him. You know, he's half white, obviously, but he is also,
well, not obviously, oh, to I a
guess,
lot of people.
I guess to a lot of people, right? So yeah. I'm married to a white woman, so he is half white. And, you know, he's also part black, part Mexican. So he is a person of color, right? But he's not necessarily visibly a person of color. You know, he has a lighter shade. Mm-hmm. But I think there will be a point in time where he will experience racism head on, and that's going to be a time that I'm not to say that I fear it. It just makes me sad to think about that. I'm going to have this conversation with him about his direct experience with racism. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause I remember my direct, you know, my first time really understanding that people were treating me differently because of my skin color. Right. And having this discussion with my mother. And just, it breaks my heart to think about me having to have this conversation with him in the future about the same thing, even though, you know, we're trying to talk about it now and kind of explain it and what's happening. But, you know, it's, like I said, it's going to be, as you said too, it's going to be a continuing conversation where things are going to happen, unfortunately, and we're just going to have to talk about how things in the world work, and hopefully, maybe, you know, things will be better, a little bit better.
Unfortunately, it seems like not only through him getting older and having different experiences, but the way racism looks has changed so much, even from the 60s to now, to where it was okay to be so outwardly racist, and now we're dealing so much more with what they call microaggressions, you know, little different ways that, like you were saying, like when someone looks at you and maybe like side eyes you a little bit because you're walking by them, and just being like, you know, having, and the way it's changed, even with, you know, the advent of the internet and things like this, like there have been just, racism has changed in so many different little ways that, you know, you may not experience as much as he will as you get older and, you know, technology changes, whether or not you keep up with it. It's just this, like, this thing. It's like, you know, it's like some kind of weird fucking parasite that just, like, changes with time and with what is and is not okay to come out and say. And things like this, you know, bring some people out into the open and just shows how racist they are. But there are still some other people, you know, there, I see a lot of conversations on, you know, racism through intersectionality and racism through what you think you can and can't tell people who are experiencing the racism. It's just, you know, it's a very, very complicated thing. It's something that I think we all, whether we have kids or not, just need to keep policing each other on, making each other aware to.
Yeah.
Yes. Children are just, I mean, obviously they're going to grow up into, you know, a new world, but it is important to talk to everybody in our lives about this, especially the people that we know that are pushing back. You know, some people have the attitude to cut them out. I think you should just push back against them, because you're probably going to have more of an influence on them than any stranger that's on Facebook that's yelling at them.
Absolutely. You know, I already had to have one of these conversations just last night on Facebook with a relative of mine. And it's like, you've got to just put yourself in my shoes for a minute. That's all I'm asking you to do, and just think about it and just stop reacting and just literally think about being in someone else's shoes and tell me that this is wrong.
Yeah, empathy should be a class taught in school at this point, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they are. I hope they are, honestly. You're sending your kids there. This should be a class. But if anybody is, looking for tips, I've had some good luck in some of these conversations. I would recommend take it private, even if it's based on a post that you see. My experiences have been that people get very defensive if they feel like they're being publicly shamed, even if they deserve to be publicly shamed. I've had people delete posts voluntarily. I didn't ask them to. I just reached out to them privately and said, hey, I'm not interested in trying to shame you in front of everybody, but frankly, I'm disgusted. You should know, like, this disgusts me. It's repulsive. These are human beings that you're talking about. And we're all on the same side. We're all, despite our differences, we should all be on the people's side, no matter what, despite our political differences. And I've had some good results from having some frank private conversations. Now, obviously, there's going to be some people that aren't going to respond to that. But making the attempt and making the effort, I think, works. And some of the negative responses I've got have been when I've been trying to call people out that I know directly, they seem to get offended, like I'm betraying them, and it's not about that. It's not about, trying to betray somebody or dunk on anybody or anything like that. It's really about changing the attitudes and saying, hey, can you take a second thought and address what you said or what you were promoting there? Like, do you really feel that way? That's my opinion. And again, if anybody wants a tip, that's free tip from Quizmaster Lee.
Free tip Monday.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good tip. Yeah, definitely have used that tactic before too. And, like you said, most of the time people are pretty receptive. Usually I do that a lot when people post things that are just like absolutely not true. And maybe they're just like caught up in the moment. And
yeah, anytime you find yourself gripping your scalp.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
What is this?
I had an interaction this morning that I posted on my Facebook with a guy who... A friend of mine who I've known since I was 6 or 7 years old posted it was graffiti on the Veterans Memorial plaque, which ended up not being the real one. It was an article from a long time ago from the Vietnam Memorial. Someone snopes it and was like, this is from 2015. This wasn't even related to this. But the first two comments were people were like, make this shareable. I need to share this. And so I commented to both of them individually and I said, why would you want to share this? Is it isn't true? Did you even look to see if it was true? And one of them, their reaction was kind of like, well, the left posts stuff that's not true. So I'm going to post stuff that's not true to counter it, which I kind of blew me away. But what was even more amazing was the other guy was saying, yeah, I just want to share it. Mind your own business. And I was like, but if it's not true, then why do you want to share it? And he was like, I just want to, and I'm just going to. Aren't you glad you're not my friend? And I was like, yeah, yes, I am. Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess so. Thanks.
All right, dunk on that guy. Dunk publicly on that guy. Yeah, I'm taking it back.
There's definitely some people that I know that are like not worth. They're so far gone, and especially if I'm not close with them, it's like
I'm talking about people, not acquaintances that you're familiar with on Facebook, but actual people that you interact with, your friends, people that you think might respect your opinion of them,
right?
Well, now that we've had our little wrap on race here, why don't we get ready for some trivia? I've got a couple questions for you related to movie soundtracks, global mineral supplies and deposits, rock music, U.S. history, and famous products. I don't know if you guys have any previews you might want to give me to whet the palate before we go over a weekly wrap-up.
Well, now I'm being put on the spot. What about you?
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I got you. I got questions on music, movies, geography, you guys' favorite.
Fantastic.
Some history and some technology.
Okay. I feel like our categories are very similar, almost.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And I've got a bunch of questions. I don't know. I'm going to do one about technology, though, because we got Gil on, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do one about natural disasters. We'll do one about money. And we'll do one about music, at the very least.
Great. Lots of movies and music, technology. It's going to be a fun episode. But before we get to those questions, how about we go over our weekly wrap-up?
Yes.
All right.
On Monday, June 1st, No Nonsense Trivia was live on Twitch. Our winner of quiz number 39 was Baha Men Tribute Band, besting 31 other players with a final score of 71,162 points. And quiz 40 went to H-Bomb and Friends, who beat 26 other players, ending with 122,829 points. Mark, tell us how your teams did on Wednesday at Nice Guys Pizza, as well as on Zoom.
They did well. As you know, because you were playing on Zoom, your team, you and, of course, Kyle Ann.
My lovely wife.
And you guys teamed up along with past winner and usual suspect Ian.
Yes.
Won the night with 36 points. No squad. You missed the last question, but you only wagered 5 points. Mm-hmm. So you narrowly beat out Trotsky's Taco by 5 points. But the winner of the night actually playing live was As You Wish. Past guests, Dallas and Elise, playing along with Seth. So quite a little power group there, playing live and sweeping, I believe, all 3 rounds. So a very fun night there.
Yeah, too bad we couldn't be there to take them head on in person. Maybe one of these days. On Thursday, June 4th, No Nonsense Trivia was back live on Twitch. H-Bomb and Friends captured the fourth of his victories with quiz number 41, beating 17 other players with a final score of 203,002 points, while Baha Men Tribute Band took quiz 42, earning 119,080 points overall. Our winners this week on the quiz stream, just switching the order of quizzes they're winning. Congratulations to them, our other winning teams, and thanks to all for quizzing. If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia in the coming weeks, you can do so by visiting twitch.tv/nononsensetrivia, where we will be streaming on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern until further notice. You can play Nice Guys Pizza Trivia live with Mark Davis on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. at Nice Guys Pizza and on Zoom. Just find the link to that in the description or on the Nice Guys Pizza Facebook page. And make sure you follow No Nonsense Trivia on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch to stay updated on all of our podcast streams and events. Join us.
Won't you?
Beautiful.
That was nice.
Got a little tail duet on that. Nice. That might be the first tail duet that we have. All right, let's take a little break and then get into our trivia. Back. Are you guys ready for this trivia? I am.
I am very ready.
Pretty ready. Yep.
I don't know. Gil sounds pretty indifferent. He sounds pretty on the line.
Woo, he's been ready for like a half hour.
Yeah.
There we go. I need some of that Steve Ballmer action.
Microsoft's own Steve Ballmer.
This podcast. Woo!
Oh man.
That is, we have that Gil energy.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Here's your first question, gentlemen.
Okay.
What is the official currency of Ecuador?
I think I know this.
I think I do, too.
Oh. Yeah. Now,
should we say it on three?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
The U.S. answer. Dollars. Oh, sorry.
Yes. No, that's what I was going to go with. U.S. dollar.
I'm sorry. I thought you were doing actually.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, I was just trying to set up the rhythm, but that's okay. Yes. That's okay.
Yes, I get it.
Yes.
Yes.
We are in agreement.
Yes.
That is, I think it's the only other country where that's the official currency, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Mark, are we correct? Is it the U.S. dollar?
You are correct. It is the U.S. dollar.
Nice.
I believe it's because their ties, I think, to the lumber industry, that it's just easier for them to use U.S. currency, if I remember reading correctly.
Yeah, I don't know the lumber industry. Where I read up on it somewhere, and I was like, that's really interesting that they use the U.S. dollar.
I remember, I believe there's a chart of world currencies on Wikipedia, and I remember seeing that stick out. Like, wait a second, what? Boop, boop, boop. What's going on here? Speaking of boop, boop, boops, I have a question about a movie soundtrack, a famous siren from a movie soundtrack that went boop, 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 boop. You guys know that one?
It sounds familiar.
Written by Quincy Jones for a television show starring Raymond Burr as a wheelchair-bound detective. What TV show's title theme is used as a warning siren in Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill? It is a sound effect used in Quentin Tarantino, but originally it was a television series theme written by Quincy Jones. What TV show was that?
Wow.
The show starred so Raymond Burr.
You're a little bit older than me, I think, Gil.
Like a so year you, older than me.
Oh, look at him pass the book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, like, look at him so pass the book.
Technically, you were born in the 70s, right? So this is
no,
all
I was
you.
Born 1980.
No, me. That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
Well, no, I think I know, but I'm saying that anybody younger than us may not remember. The first name that comes to mind, I think, with me and him is Perry Mason.
Interesting. So, like, to me, like, I feel Perry Mason was older, like, before Quincy Jones'
maybe it
time,
was.
Right? Like, I want to tell you what I initially thought, but not, I'm not saying this is right in any way.
Please do.
I was thinking Starsky and Hutch, but again, I don't remember what.
Can
you
I
know,
hear the
I can't
question
remember
one more time?
Yeah.
I'll give it to you guys one more time here. Written by Quincy Jones.
Hold on real quickly. Mm-hmm. You'll give it to me as many times as I ask for.
Of course.
Understand?
Of course. Yeah. I did not mean to say that this is one more.
That this is
and
it.
That's it.
Give it to me, Quiz more. Daddy. Give it to me.
But I'm going to try and read it so well that you won't need to hear it
okay,
again.
Okay. I'm ready. My ears
I kind of conversated into the question.
Okay.
Here it is straight up. Written by Quincy Jones for a show starring Raymond Burr as a wheelchair-bound detective. What TV show's title theme is used as a warning siren in Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill?
All right. It's not Starsky and Hutch because he was not a wheelchair-bound detective.
What is that guy? Kojak?
That was
the bald guy, right?
Telly Savalas.
Yeah. Then there was... Man, wheelchair-bound? That's the part. I'm trying to imagine Raymond Burr, who that person is in my mind, and I can't... And I'm trying to think about wheelchair-bound detective.
The way he looked to me in my mind's eye from what I remember seeing of him back in the day was almost like a fat modern Sean Connery.
Okay.
Like he had kind of like short, shaggy gray hair and he was overweight. And I kind of remember always seeing him like in a turtleneck, maybe like in my in this image I have in my mind. So Perry Mason, I'm like 90% sure was him. Now there's another name that's sticking out my mind, and God, I'm gonna feel. Oh, okay.
I'm gonna show you a picture of the character here.
Oh wow. Okay, that is not...
Now you playing at home cannot see that picture.
Yeah.
But
okay, I will tell you that is not Perry Mason era. Raymond Burr. Now, I have another name sticking in my head.
Okay.
And I'm going to feel like a jerk off if this does not ring in any bells, because I feel like this is a very ableist sounding answer.
Oh, it's okay. I'll forgive you ahead of time.
Ironsides.
Oh.
Now, I remember hearing that, and because my mom was in a wheelchair, which is not my excuse to be able to say Ironside's all willy-nilly, but thinking like she has, you know, they have the two armrests on the sides and that you're covered on both sides. Now, I know Ironside's is a thing.
It's a Viking
thing. I don't know
thing.
What it is. Okay.
It's named after but a Viking.
I think it was also something else later on, like a TV show or a movie or something.
No, no, I could see that for sure.
That is the best I've got. I mean, we can maybe suss something else out, but I mean, that TV, that Raymond Burr, if Perry Mason was in the 80s, which it probably was, he was probably in his 60s or 70s then. I mean, that picture, he's in his, you know, probably 40s.
Yeah.
So we're looking at, you know, the 60s.
I got to say, I like what you're saying here. Like, I don't know why. Like, I can't think of a show named that, but that sounds like a reasonable guess to me, like, based on what you're saying. And
okay, thank God someone else thinks that doesn't sound ridiculous.
No, I do. And, like, Yeah, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't go with Ironsides.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else that rings a bell for a character in a like detective thing. Aside from it being, if it is Perry Mason, you know, and it's just an older show than I remember, it could be that was Perry, that was him as Perry Mason, and that I'm like miscontributing him being older in the show or whatever.
That's the thing, is that era of television is confusing to me because, you know, at that time, we only had three channels, right? And, like, they were kind of showing stuff that spanned 20, 30 years, right? Like, they didn't really have a big back catalog. So, to me, everything came out in the 80s. But I know that's not the, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, stuff came out way earlier than that.
Pop on the old VHF and watch ABC or NBC or CBS.
So, I like the Ironsides. I think that's
you want to go with Ironsides instead of Perry Mason?
Yeah, I think I like that one better, that guess better.
All right, we're going to go with Ironsides.
I'm going to give it to you. Ironside. Ironside.
Yeah! Ironside. Yeah! Good job, Ironside.
Yes!
Very
that's
good.
Awesome.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Yes, the theme song written by Quincy Jones for Ironside, the first synthesizer-based TV theme ever. Jones also wrote the score for the first 8 episodes. He then passed it off to somebody else for the rest of the series. And as for its usage in Kill Bill, director Quentin Tarantino says he got the idea from the kung fu film Five Fingers of Death, where it was used similarly, but it wasn't actually licensed. So Jones never got any money for its use in Five Fingers of Death. But he did, of course, receive royalties from its usage in Kill Bill. So
great. Awesome. And did you guys see that they're
great sus?
Did you guys see they're making a new Perry Mason coming out on HBO?
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see
that. Matthew Rhys. The guy from The Americans, the dad, and there's a few other big actors attached to it too. It's interesting.
HBO making some interesting acquisitions.
Yeah,
I didn't know they picked up all these rights, and I was not expecting ever to see new Adventure Time episodes coming out.
HBO Max coming out with Space Ghost Coast to Coast episodes.
What?
Nine seasons
I have not heard of either of these things. Are you serious? Wow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They're all on there for your viewing pleasure. I haven't gotten HBO Max yet, but that's made me seriously consider it.
Yeah, sponsor us, HBO.
Yeah,
hashtag not an ad until you give us free subs.
Yeah, not yet. Just give us that and we'll talk all about you.
Yeah, exactly.
Gil, we're ready for you.
All right. Well, based on this question, I'm gonna pick one of my other I was going to go in a different order, but you mentioned Kill Bill. I'm going to ask you a question about Pulp Fiction.
Ooh.
Hey, in Pulp Fiction, Mia Wallace, Uma Thurman's character, talks about acting in a pilot that never went anywhere. What was the name of this alliterative show?
Mark, you know this?
Ooh. Not off the top of my head. Let me
jog your memory here.
Yeah.
Fox Force 5.
Oh, yeah.
Fox Force 5 is the name of that show. Isn't it, Gil?
Yep.
Isn't it Fox
Force 5? That's absolutely right. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah!
All right.
Woo.
And that was, and the neat thing is that she talks about the different women in it and they all end up in Kill Bill.
Yep, which I thought that
basically all, being those women.
Yep.
Yeah, that's wonderfully done.
Yeah, it was all inspired
by synchronicity here.
It was all inspired actually by Mark's post about, you know, Kill Bill being one of his movies, because it's actually one of my favorite movies of all time too.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
it's yeah.
Yep, it's in my top five, I would say, for sure.
You know, and I felt it was like, oh, this is everyone's going to have Kill or
Pulp Fiction
in theirs, but
yeah,
it was too. It's, you know, I remember being a little kid and taping one section of that movie in particular that just like blew me away. The whole section with Quentin Tarantino and Winston Wolfe and that whole thing is just like, oh, so good. I mean, the whole movie's great, but
yeah.
All right, are you guys ready for a question about music?
Yes, please.
Yes. Interesting accent, sure.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
Through that, whenever I talk about music. All right, question number two.
I'm horny all of a sudden.
You know I love an accent.
I'm Randy.
Nice to meet you, horny. Nice to meet you, Randy. What song off of Metallica's Black album was one of the only in Metallica's catalog to not feature member Kirk Hammett?
Kirk is the lead guitarist.
It's not what's his name? Is he considered the lead?
He would be I think he plays rhythm, James Hetfield, rhythm guitar, and sings lead vocals. But I believe Kirk, I don't know if maybe they don't even break it down in the band officially. Maybe they just both view themselves as guitarists. But Kirk is the one that solos. Gotcha. He's the one that's known for those wild solos.
I'll be honest. I only know two members' names. I just learned a third, and Mark just taught me.
Lars.
Yeah, Lars.
And James. Everyone knows Lars.
Napster bad.
Yeah.
And poor Jason Newsted.
Oh yeah, who is another one? Obviously
bullied out of the band.
The bassist at the time.
Yeah. I'm gonna be no help here. I'm trying to think what. So
the Black album has Enter Sandman on it.
Right, of course. And
it has Sad But True, which Kid Rock famously sampled for American Badass, which the wrestler The Undertaker famously used as his entrance theme when he became a biker for a few years. You guys remember all that, right?
I'm glad to say I do
the
not.
The sad history of that song and its degradation.
And how true it is. This history is sad but it is true. Both sad and true.
What was the other big song off
Black Unforgiven?
Off? Right, okay, yes.
Man. To go through the entire track listing here, I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah, I wasn't a big Metallica fan as a kid. I mean, the Unforgiven and Enter Sandman, obviously, super popular, and rightfully so. But
Unforgiven has a solo in it, if I remember correctly. Enter Sandman has a solo.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sad But True, I believe, has a solo. And those are the three tracks. That is just not one of my most, like, I've kept up with Metallica here and there, but I'm usually listening to Master of Puppets or Kill 'Em All if I'm listening to Metallica. I'll check out the new stuff, and I did listen to the Black album quite a bit as a youth, but I just can't remember what's on the rest of that album and what might not have a solo in it.
Yeah.
So maybe we should just pick one of those because we know the names of it.
Right, yeah, that's probably a good place to start.
which would be surprising. Enter Sandman?
I'm trying to... No. Wait, is there a solo in that?
Maybe there's not.
I'm trying to think.
There's a bridge, you're right. Maybe there's no solo in that.
Yeah,
because there's that part with the little prayer. Maybe they said,
"Oh, right.
Hey, Kirk, why don't you take a step back? We're gonna substitute you with the Lord's Prayer on this track."
He's the one saying it. Now I lay me down to sleep.
Yeah, the little kid voice is actually Kirk Hammett. No, just kidding. That's not true.
Yeah, I don't. I can't think of a solo in that song.
Let's go with it. Okay. Enter Sandman.
Yes. Let's go with Enter Sandman. There's
a big solo in that song, guys.
No,
a huge one.
Motherfuckers act like they forgot about Kirk.
right before that Lord's Prayer. There was another there was another song on that album that was a huge hit for Metallica that you did not mention. One that James Hetfield wrote while on the phone with his girlfriend at the time, playing around with an acoustic guitar, playing the low E string and then the high G, B, and E string, open and saying, "Oh, wow, that actually sounds good," and started penning lyrics for "Nothing Else Matters."
Right.
Nothing Else Matters.
Of course.
And there is a solo on that song also, but it is performed by James Hetfield. I was actually watching the music video today and was kind of, you know, looking it through it. I hadn't seen it since I was younger and kind of like looking at it through new eyes of a musician and being like, oh, Jason Newsted's playing a fretless bass. I never noticed that before. And noticing, geez, I haven't seen Kirk Hammett really do much. And then they showed James Hetfield playing guitar on it during the solo. And I was like, that's interesting. And I looked back at the Wikipedia article and sure enough,
wow.
One of the only songs he does not perform on at all.
Yeah.
Is a great Metallica trivia question mark.
Thank you. Like that would have been very hard to assess. Like even if we came up with that song, we've been like, no, there's a solo. So why?
I'm also proud that it's a very well-known song. You know, it would be absolutely. One thing if it was another one of the other ones is Anesthesia Pulling Teeth, which is a song off of Kill 'Em All, I believe, which, you know, is a lot less known, but that it is
exactly
such a popular
song. That's almost like a disappointing answer because you think, how would I have known that? I'm a, you know, casual fan, but the fact that the answer is a single.
Right.
That's so popular, I think, really makes that a great question.
I feel like a dodo for not thinking of that song, but like, I was like, I had the same feeling. I was like, Mark's definitely going to pick something that it's going to be annoying that you didn't answer this. So that's all. It's kind of like Enter Sandman, probably.
I was kind of worried that if one of you said that song title, you immediately would have latched onto it.
Yeah.
So when you didn't mention it, I was like,
you really don't want us to get it, do you, Mark?
You also didn't mention Wherever I May Roam, which was another big solo or single off of that. That album had, I think, 5 or 6 singles that charted really, really well. So
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
All right.
Apologies to Metallica and company.
I think they're going to be okay.
They don't give a fuck. Eat fuck, they would tell me.
Eat fuck.
Yeah. Global mineral supply. I know this seems like an obscure category, but maybe you can figure it out. Bit of a geography question as well. Located near the Earth's largest concentration of iron, where can the Lehman discontinuity be found? That is Lehmann. The Lehman discontinuity. It's located near the Earth's largest concentration of iron and can be found where?
Excuse me?
Are you looking
me?
For a country?
Yeah.
Where can it be found?
You're looking for a country?
I think
for a state? Or
I guess that's all. So
I'm looking for a where.
What?
Okay.
Discontinuity, I'll give you latitude and longitude. Huh? Yeah. Hold on. Let me get you
the Lehman discontinuity.
What exactly is not continuing? That's interesting. And Lehman, like what? Is that a person or a town name or?
Well, I was going to say, what is a discontinuity?
Right. Like what? What? Okay. Iron.
I was going to say, where is there just a lot of iron? I think that's kind of the question to go with.
So would imagine it had to be mountainous. Right, like are you drilling for iron, or are you, you know, like are you going down in the earth, or are you mining a mountain side for iron?
You know, let me tell you, that is such a good fucking question. Hey, he's got an iron thing going on here.
Yeah.
Here,
so.
I don't know why. Like, I feel like China has a lot of resources, so that's kind of jumping out to me.
It would, but why would they name it Lehman? Lehman, that doesn't sound like
that. Oh, that's a good... Yeah, how did you spell it? Lehmann?
Correct.
That is very European.
Yeah.
But I mean, it could just be a European company, you know, that went in somewhere and
they're like, it's discontinuous here. Sorry.
Like when I think of M-A-N-N.
That's an accurate representation of what happened, Gil.
Yeah.
Like when I think of like M-A-N-N, I think of maybe a German name or, you know, somewhere around there. Austrian.
Oh. Right. Okay. Where? Lemon. Iron.
Raymond Burr's backyard.
You said iron and you said Iran. I'm like, Iran? What? No.
There's mountains there.
There are.
I mean, it could be. Most of the Middle East has gotten its money through oil.
For sure.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it couldn't get some through Iran.
Lemon. Yeah, I think you're right. It does sound German.
It's definitely like that European. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that Central Europe?
Yeah, I guess based on, yeah. But where, like, there's lots of Alps, right? Like, there's...
Mm-hmm. It could be, yeah, it could be, like, Swedish. ABBA is Swedish, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it could be Swedish or something like that, like, or at least the company. But again, like, whatever a discontinuity is,
if you start a company called,
oh yeah, we're Lemon Discontinuity and we're going to post up in Russia. What if it's Russia?
That's the thing. So you think that's
lots of mountains.
So you think that's a name? Discontinuity is part of the name. Like, I feel like that's a, it reminds me more of like a phenomenon. Like, this is no longer, this is the Lemon Discontinuity. You know what I mean? Not like, that's the main named after the person who discovered it or something. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Maybe.
Like Phil, I guess, Lemon came in and was like, hey, we found this thing and it no longer continues here.
Oh, can we hear the question one more time?
Located near the Earth's largest concentration of iron, where can the Lemon Discontinuity be found?
I guess I was putting the two things together. I was thinking that the lemon thing was mining for iron. Now I feel like a big old dope. The Lemon Discontinuity is a thing, whatever it is, and it is by the largest concentration of iron.
Yeah, I don't. Like, none of those things are helping me suss any of this out. Really? Like,
it's. Germany?
Yeah, that's probably the best.
I mean, there's a lot of mountains. Lemon kind of sits with it. Could be heavy with lead.
Watch it be like Utah or something.
I just want to adjust this question slightly. I don't know that it's going to make a difference in your sus.
Okay.
I say near. What I mean by near is among.
Okay.
It's located among
the
Earth's largest concentration of iron.
Gotcha.
But you should know.
Okay. So then maybe it is a mine that is no longer mined because they mined all the iron out of it.
Maybe that's why it's a discontinuity. Like, we're done.
Yeah.
Like
it was the lemon mine and now it is the Lemon Discontinuity because we don't use it anymore.
Where?
Huh.
Why would you stop? Like, you've gotten all the ore out. There's some kind of other problem that made you left. I guess discontinuity means like, I guess.
What if it's Chernobyl?
Right. That's what I was saying. Like, what if something like Chernobyl is like, you can't even, there's no longer.
Don't touch this shit.
Nope. This iron's tainted.
It's so irradiated or whatever that you can't fuck with it.
Unfuckwittable.
And if we say Russian, he's like, I need to be more specific. We can be like, oh, you little rat fucking bastard. Then it's Chernobyl.
I let you have Ironside, okay?
That was one letter, sir. Come on.
Don't push it, says Lee. What do you think, Gil?
Man. Sure, why don't we... You want to go with Russia or Chernobyl? Which...
Let's go with Russia. Let's go a little broader at first and see where that takes us.
A little fishing? All right.
Yeah, we're going to go with Russia.
No, I'm sorry, gentlemen. Oof, that is incorrect. It is located far, far, far under Russia. And it's actually located underneath all of the continents in the world. The lemon discontinuity is located in between the inner core and the outer core of the Earth. It is the discontinuity of the substance between the inner and outer core. There are actually five discontinuities in Earth science, each between the different layers of geological layers of the Earth. There's the Conrad discontinuity, that is the transition zone between the upper and lower crust. The Mohorovicic, Mohorovicic discontinuity, which is also known as the MOHO discontinuity among Earth scientists.
Of course.
That's between the crust and mantle. The Rapidi discontinuity, the Gutenberg discontinuity, and then the last one you get before you hit the inner core of the Earth, where most of the Earth's abundance of iron is located, is both within the inner and outer core. There's some on the crust itself, but you're right, Gil. You have to mine deep, deep down to get to that sweet, sweet iron. And that is where you would find the lemon discontinuity. It's named after Danish seismologist Inge Lehmann, who discovered it in 1936. And again, according to globally average studies, usually it's found underneath continents on the planet Earth, not in the oceans. So that is where you can find. I don't know if the oceans just go right down to the core. You're like at pure core down there. But that was my understanding based on the reading.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Definitely tricky. Geography kind of.
It's a vertical geography.
Yeah. Okay. He's always.
Yeah,
he's gonna push the boundary on every. Fucking
as I was saying that, I was thinking
now.
I should not be saying this right now. I should not be saying geography. So I'll admit I did throw you off a little bit, but I didn't know. You know where it's tough enough just by going where not to indicate it's one of the. I guess I could ask in between which two layers.
Where
could you
in
find
the world?
The discontinuity?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where in the world
I was definitely
is
thinking
lemon discontinuity?
Where Gil. Inside the world?
fair enough. Gil, hit us up with this last question.
All right. This one's a music question.
Ooh.
What is the stage name of the Grammy Award-winning Canadian crooner Abel Tesfaye?
You know, I got to say, Lee, between us, I was like, as soon as he said the stage name, I was like, oh, I'm going to feel bad for him when we just fucking hammer out this answer all hard. He's going to be like, oh, God.
Can just I get it one more time, Gil?
What is the stage name of the Grammy Award winning Canadian crooner, Abel Tesfaye?
Abel Tesfaye?
T-E-S-F-A-Y-E.
Perfect.
Abel.
Canadian crooner. Well.
You know who comes to mind for me?
Who?
Michael Bublé.
Ooh.
That is about the only Canadian crooner I can come up with off the top of my head. If we're strictly speaking crooners and not like, saying Alanis Morissette is a crooner or George Michael's a crooner.
No. Absolutely.
I mean, we're talking about that classic wearing a tuxedo, singing with a wink in your eye. Hey, ho, got a martini in my hand.
I'm going to let you guys know that crooner is more about the alliteration here for me than being a spot on crooner.
Hmm. Oh, okay. So this is not a, I don't know what you'd call a, card carrying crooner.
So we're looking for a singer, more a singer, less a crooner.
Okay. This is just a flavor of the, for the question.
Canadian crooner. I wanted the little,
right.
Canadian crooner.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's on the podcast. We all have different question writing styles, but if Gil was writing his own quiz, you'd probably get used to like alliteration like that, his particular style.
Right.
you know, and that or, I feel like sometimes I'm like, oh, I wrote this like this is like a Mark written question, or I'll think, oh, this is written like a Jackbox style question.
Yeah,
you know,
or at least, you know, you can get away with writing that for the alliteration, but afterwards clearing up.
Yeah, I had a feeling I might crooner. Have to. I just went because I knew you guys are very musical, so I was like, they might take this too literally. Like,
right.
And we did.
Which is exactly what I was going for.
We were like, it's got to be Bublé. There's only one. There's only one literal Canadian crooner.
Yeah.
Okay, so that opens things up a bit.
Yeah.
So
Abel, we're looking for a guy. Yes. We agree
theoretically,
on this?
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Mm-hmm. Presumably. That is our assumption based on the name Abel. Perhaps a reference to the Bible, Cain and Abel.
Yes. If not, we're in a world of trouble. Because I feel like, you know, it could be...
You know who's got a fake-ass name?
Hmm.
Neil Young.
Oh. Young? Don't put that
Come
thought
on.
In my head.
Come on, Young? No, I've met Youngs before.
Hey, I got one for you.
Okay.
Close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And think of the wreck.
The wreck? What? Oh, Edmund Fitzgerald?
And who do you see? Fake
what's
ass
his name?
Gordon Lightfoot.
Gordon Lightfoot. Ooh, that would be oh so clever of Gil. To be
Wouldn't
calling
that be,
back
oh,
to that.
Look at that fucking eyebrow. Mm-hmm. He's got the rock's eye with the people's eyebrow. Yeah, I mean,
Do
Canadian.
You smell
what the
what
Gil?
Gil is quizzing.
Cooking. Oh, nice. What he's asking. I mean, he is Canadian. He was mentioned on the show. It would be very clever. Gordon Lightfoot. Dude, come on.
Yeah.
It's like a shoe manufacturer name.
Lightfoot. That is a name you give yourself. That is a name you get. Well, I don't know.
My There's real probably, name.
I don't want to question anybody's name here. Maybe that is his birth name.
Abel
it's Tesfaye not a bad guess, though.
Is a very white person's name. Mm-hmm. Gordon Lightfoot, very white.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't be Feist.
Could be.
Her name is Leslie Feist, right?
Oh, I have no idea.
I think that's where that name comes from. I like Gordon Lightfoot. Let's go with it.
We're going to go with Gordon Lightfoot.
We got meta with it, Mark.
Damn.
We got meta with it and we gave up.
I like that. I like your thinking there, though. That would have been good. But no, this was actually something I learned personally myself recently. The answer is The Weeknd.
Oh, I don't even think I knew he was Canadian.
Me neither.
Same.
Or his real name.
There you go. The odds were stacked against us from the get-go.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
That was maybe not as surprising, though, as 21 Savage turning out to be British.
That was very bizarre.
Yeah. That seemed like it came out of left field.
Yeah, for sure.
Excuse me? Atlanta. You're from Atlanta. Totally believe it. Right. I don't know. When did he come over? He came over as a teenager. Was that it?
I want to say, yeah, he was a young man for sure.
Yeah. So, I don't know. He's been here a while. All right. The Weeknd. Or The Weeknd. You got to say it quickly, right? The Weeknd.
In my opinion, the K and the N, you know, should be like a knee situation. So, he should just call himself The Weeknd.
I don't know about that.
I can consider this my proposal, that we start referring to him as The Weeknd.
Maybe he's on Twitter. You should tweet him.
Okay. We'll see what I can do.
If you logically like explain the KN knee thing, you know.
Hey,
maybe he's
go
on
for
board.
It. Yeah. He was also in the movie Uncut Gems. Did you guys see that yet?
No, it's on my list for sure.
It's on Netflix. I saw it in the theater. Guys, got to see that movie.
I've heard
so
nothing but good things.
Good.
Yeah, heard some great things about it.
Very good. Very good.
Right on. Let's take a break. I'll watch that movie.
Yeah, let's watch it during the break.
Yeah, I'll be right back. I'm load up Netflix.
I'm going to download it in my brain like The Matrix. And then we'll come back for round number two.
And we're back. Before we get to our no notes, Mark, you have a little announcement?
Well, I just thought it was kind of funny. I was listening to the last episode, and when I was sussing out one of the countries that borders Namibia in the last question, I guess South Africa, because I knew that Namibia was in the south. And my thought process, I said, was, oh, there was a lot of racism in South Africa and in the South, and in the United States, there's a lot of racism. And I was thinking to myself, you fucking ding dong, South is in the name, South Africa. Why would you have to make any other fucking link to remember that South Africa is in the South when it's quite literally fucking South Africa? It's like, it couldn't be any more fucking clear. It's like, I live in South United States. Where is it located in the United States?
Yeah.
In the South.
That is like some severe neurological precaution you're taking against dementia or something, where just everything starts to slip away. You want to make sure all the associations are shored up.
I think
hanging
it's
out
a
by like a rubber
thing.
Band.
I think it's a trivia thing where I automatically try and like attribute stuff, kind of like the thing that you were doing where you failed spectacularly at the periodic table of elements, where it's like, you've got this and then this. You don't even remember it now, do you?
No.
There's a bee and it's like something, and then there's a balloon. I mean, you know, it's like, I just try and take everything and automatically like equate it to something, even so, you know, to the point where I can't see the forest for the trees, because I'm like, South, okay, what's in the South? South Africa is got to be in the South because there's racism, there's South here. And it's like, just stop and think about it for a second and think, South Africa.
Yes, it's there's plenty of racism in northern parts of countries as well. We should just clarify.
Absolutely,
that's true. Yes, obviously,
as being evidenced, yeah, there was right, no right. better time to point it out.
Can't get here much. We'll put a
light miscorrection on that. Not really a miscorrection, but we've got some no notes. Let's get to a no note here. We'll do a no note theme, right? No note version of our theme.
Yes.
Let's try it.
That's okay.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, notes.
I'm sure you heard no notes somewhere in there.
Notes. Perfect.
We got a note here from Lyric Nelson from Minnesota. Lyric writes, "Good evening, Lee and Mark. I've been a listener for quite a while and binge episodes while I'm at work. As a bit of a trivia junkie myself, it saddens me that there are no trivia competitions held in my area, so your show helps quench my thirst for random and otherwise useless information. Love you guys. Congratulations for reaching episode 100. Here's hoping for another 100. I don't have a rate my question or a miscorrection for you, but rather just wanted to input a small note on one of your questions from episode 99 about the AIDS dietary supplemental candies. I was pleasantly surprised to have known the answer to this question. I just want to let you know there are recordings of commercials for this candy on YouTube, which happens to be where I discovered this information. Old commercials are hidden gems. I personally find them hilarious in a dark sense of humor kind of way, and highly recommend giving some a watch. Have a great day and happy quizzing." Regardless of whether or not you think that dark sense of humor is funny, folks, I do have to agree. Old commercials are definitely hidden gems for trivia.
They're hidden gems, period. A friend of mine sent me a 2-hour special that 120 minutes did, where they I think it was when they were doing like the beach house thing. And so they were like, every time they do this beach house thing, they'd have bands come in. And they would think that it was the year 1993. It started with Smashing Pumpkins doing Cherub Rock. And there was everyone from Swerve Driver to X to They Might Be Giants and all these other bands doing stuff. And what the hell did I start talking about this for?
Commercials.
We were talking about old commercials.
Oh,
and 120 minutes, 120
and
minutes.
So in between some of these performances, they left in the commercials.
Oh, that's
God,
great. That's
talk
great.
About a fucking throwback. I'm watching these commercials for like Levi's stressed jeans and like all this stuff. And it's like, I was just like, I was totally taken back to a time where commercials were annoying, but they were such a part of like the zeitgeist.
Yeah,
that everyone for sure. talked about the commercials just as much as they did like during The Last Dance. I don't know if you watched it, Gil, but they show like some of the commercials with Spike Lee and Michael Jordan, and like
it's gotta all be the shoes.
Yeah, like all these things that became giant references, and now commercials are largely just skipped over, but
yeah,
old commercials are the best.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone recently, like, I go in these wormholes on YouTube, and I'll end up on old commercials. One is one of those that just like unlocks the nostalgia thing for me, and then like old cartoons, like or old TV shows. Yes. I would have like completely forgot about, and then suddenly I'm like, what just happened? Like, I am now like 7 years old and sitting down and seeing this again. You know, it's like I travel back in time. It's amazing.
While we're on the subject of nostalgia, real quick, mm-hmm. I have to promote my wife's new album that came out on Friday. It's called Nostalgia by Kyle Ann. If you are a no-nonsense Twitch trivia player, Kyle Ann writes many of the questions that we have on Mondays and Thursdays. And she is, if you don't know, an amazing singer-songwriter. So go check that out. It's on all streaming. That's Kyle Ann with an E. And it's called Nostalgia. Gil, thank you again, by the way, for backing the Kickstarter for her last album, Eulogy. Oh, hope your merch came. You got your stuff in the mail, right?
I think so.
Did you get anything in the mail?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. Things have been a blur the last few months. It's like, sure.
Oh, yeah. This was last year, too, which year like, feels like it was 10 years ago, basically.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, I get everything confused, too. And I definitely pre-ordered this album, too, so.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, check that out. That's on Bandcamp and sharing. And if you would like to write us here at the No-No with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no-note like Lyric did, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media. And Lyric also gave us a five-star review as well on Apple Podcasts. So thank you for that as well.
Lyric, God bless you.
We're averaging about one review a month, which is great. We really appreciate the reviews, but if we could get two a month this month, that would be amazing. That would be 100% increase.
Let me clear this up while we're on here. If we've already given a five-star review at some point, is it beneficial to give you another five-star review? Like, can you do that in iTunes? Like, is that a thing?
I don't know. I'm not a Apple phone user.
I would guess not, because I think it links to your user account.
Yeah.
So I think once you've logged in now, I mean, if you get like an extra, if you just want to make a bunch, I don't know if you can make more than
buy
one
a second iPhone or a third iPad, you know, because we know you've got three of them. You've got one that you use and two in the closet.
Oh, mm-hmm. Don't tell everybody my secrets.
We've all got that box of cables.
They have what's referred to as an iPhone sandwich, which is an iPhone with a gift card on top of it, and then another iPhone on top of that. So just give yourself one of those and make yourself a couple of accounts.
Yeah, that's two or three reviews for us right there.
Yeah, so,
don't do that. Do not do that. But one review would be amazing. And if you have reviewed, Gil, I believe you've left us a review. Yeah. Thank you so much as well. And to all our listeners. And if you want to support us on Patreon, of course you can do so. You can become a proverbial lightkeeper like Gil. Or Gil, you're a proverbial lightkeeper, right?
I can't keep the rank
team
straight.
Captain?
I just moved team up. Captain? I don't remember. Whatever.
Yeah. Gil's up there towards the top. But we've got some extra content on there that you can listen to, extra bonus quizzes, alternate audio tracks to The Big Lebowski. It's a good time, good fun time over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the Patreon. All right. Are you guys ready for the second round of trivia?
I believe I am.
Okay. Let's go from the music of Canada today to the music of North America yesterday, the 90s in particular. Got a rock music question for you guys.
Okay.
What band was originally named Mighty Joe Young when they formed in 1989 and whose 1992 major label debut album features a title inspired by a biblical story? The band formed in 1989, originally under the name Mighty Joe Young, and their 1992 major label debut album features a title inspired by a biblical story.
I know it. It took me a minute. It took me a minute because I was like, Mighty Joe Young, I know that name.
Yeah. That was a movie? Also, I believe it was.
Right? Yeah. Was Brendan Fraser in
that? Yeah. Okay.
Or something like that.
And he said something about a biblical reference. What year did he say? 92? 92.
92 was the debut album the band formed in 1989.
And the biblical song was on that debut album, is what you're saying.
The biblical story inspired the title of their debut album. The band changed their name from Mighty Joe Young to what other name?
Got you. Mark says he already knows it.
I do. I want you to think about the number of commandments.
Okay. I think I got this one. But
also early on named their band Mookie Blaylock.
I know that
after
one.
The basketball player.
Yes, I know that one. I know
think
that
we
name.
Are looking at the band that Curl. Has been rumored to be named after semen or jism, if you will.
Yes.
On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Pearl Jam.
Wrong.
Are you serious?
Wrong. I'm serious.
Oh, that my God. Are you fucking kidding me?
The name of the 1992 album is Core. The band is Stone Temple Pilots.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
Core, the apple core, eating the apple. In Christianity, of course, the story provides the basis for the beliefs of the fall of man.
Wow.
And original sin. Sin, also the name of a song on the album, along with Sex Type Thing, Creep, Plush, and Wicked Garden. The late Stone Temple Pilots singer Scott Weiland stated, the album is about humanity's confusion around various topics of social injustice in organized religion, sex, and other areas of society where power dynamics play a role. It was recorded in 5 weeks with producer Brendan O'Brien. It is the band's best-selling album, certified 8 times platinum in 2001 by the RIAA. Core by Stone Temple Pilots, formerly known as Mighty Joe Young.
Definitely one of my favorite
indeed,
albums.
Which was indeed two movies. There was one in 1949 that was the original, and then there was a 90s remake, which did not star Brendan Fraser, if I remember correctly. It would be Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton and Charlize Theron. Were the stars of
Mighty Joe Young. Was around in 1989. See, this is I'm learning all kinds of things. Like, huh?
Yep. And I think the movie might have come out after the band. I think named themselves after the original 1949 movie, and then the remake came out after that. But yeah, there you go.
Wow. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I blocked any future sus there. I just felt so sure of it.
It's all right. I had a completely different band in mind at first, like a couple bands, but
how funny is it that 10 like fits so well?
Yeah.
With
I was like, commandments.
Okay. Yep.
Jeez. Gil, do you want to go second or you want to go third?
I'll go third. It's fine.
Let's have Gil go now.
Okay.
We'll do it.
All right.
We'll do a proper rotation.
All right.
You'll
sure.
go when we say right. you go.
Yes, I'll go now, Daddy.
By the all way, right. Run the Jewels 4 just dropped.
It did finally? Oh, I thought they were doing it Friday.
Break Great. Time. Let's take a break.
Sorry. All right. Let me ask you a geography question. Now, this one I don't think has been asked before, but I get a lot of these confused on here. There's been 100 episodes, so...
Right. A lot of questions.
Spare me here, hopefully.
As long as you're not asking us about the inside of the fucking world, then we're good.
We have to give ourselves that forgiveness. So, you know, obviously we have to extend that to you.
Sure.
Like when I asked the same question 2 weeks in a row.
So you yeah, that's
can't
right.
fuck up any more than me.
All right, cool. At 8,893 kilometers long, what two countries share the longest border?
Wow. The longest border. This is going to be... Why do I feel like this is going to be tricky? My gut instinct is Russia and China. Because they're both rather large. But... I don't know if... There might be some interruptions on that, too. But I feel like it might be tricky in a different sense. Like it's something that's not that. And
I think it's the United States and Canada.
Ooh.
Because there's all the way from Maine to Oregon or Washington rather. And then there's also Alaska. And I don't know if we've asked this question on here before, but again, I think it might be one of those like, you know, early on trivia things.
Yep. A stock question? Is that what you're saying?
This not is a stock, stock no, no. But like, you know, one of those things that you learn.
We need a more respectful term for that. Yes. Yeah. Other than stock.
Introductory.
I think stock is it's all right.
Classic.
Classic is a good word.
A classic question.
Like the hit game show Classic Concentration, mm-hmm. which was briefly hosted by Alex Trebek. Mm-hmm. Russia and China is a good guess, but I feel, especially with the added Alaska, I feel like it might be America and Canada.
Yeah, I have a sense that you're right. And also, you know, going off my mind map, it is based off those Mercator map projections that are known to be inaccurate. So yeah. Let's go with it. Let's go with United States and Canada.
All right, we're going to go with United States and Canada.
You are correct.
Yes.
Hey.
You good job. Like the last time, I was like, oh, shit, we are hosed. Nice.
Do you guys have an idea about the second longest? Because you would think like Russia and China, right? You're pretty mm-hmm. good. But yep. It's actually Russia and another country. And I would have never have guessed this, but I may still India? Get it wrong. Nope.
No. I think it's one of those like Eastern European countries, like Kazakhstan or like.
Kazakhstan is huge.
Is it Kazakhstan?
Here's the thing. I'm doing this from memory, so it's either Kazakhstan or Kyrgyzstan. One of those. It's one of those stands with a K.
Well, Kazakhstan, if I remember correctly, is the largest landlocked country in the yes. world, right?
Yep.
That was Abby's rate my question.
Yes. I think. Yeah.
So that would make sense.
Which is funny because I saw her a couple nights later and she couldn't remember the answer. So you're like, what was the answer?
See,
like, it was Kazakhstan.
That's a little taste of what it's like to be a quiz master.
Yeah, and it's gone.
Yeah. All right. Gil, you talking about nostalgia and Lee, you talking about nostalgia and Gil, you talking specifically about cartoons made me drum this bad boy up. I just wrote this question.
Okay.
What cartoon is based on a character named Brett Matthews who would turn into a sports car when facing extreme heat?
Oh, you my do gosh. Know.
I can't this believe you did this to me. I can't believe you did this to me, man. I just saw this one, and I don't remember the freaking name of it. But it was one of those where I was like, I hadn't thought about it in years, and I saw that opening animation where he, like, physically turns yes, into a car,
Gil,
and I was
thank
like,
you. For years, I felt like I was going insane because I would talk about this cartoon, and people would look at me fucking completely cross-eyed, and I was like, it was something like he got wet or something. I can't remember, but it was something that made him turn into a sports car, and then he would turn back into a human, and you would see his mouth turn into the grill, and his eyes would yes. turn into the headlights.
And his like, hands would just turn into the tires. And,
yep,
like,
they would just do this thing. Yep.
Oh.
It was all just using animation tricks.
Well, I mean, it like, was
if people lived in a cartoon world, this is how they would transform.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. It was definitely out there, and it was like I said, I hadn't thought about it in probably 30 years, right? And I see that opening, it just immediately unlocked. Like this was a thing that you used to.
Someone was on peyote, looking at a car, going, "Holy shit, the car's looking at me."
Hey, yeah, man. It was their friend. It wasn't a car. It was their friend.
Hey, is that car Brett Matthews?
Oh, what was the name of that show? Dang.
Let me start us us here. Okay. There's that show Ben 10 where he transforms into different entities. Is it Brett 10? Could that be?
No.
Could that be it?
Yeah.
All right, I tried.
And then like I know all the, you know, all the like Transformer-esque shows like GoBots mm-hmm. and Mass that's not those. It's man.
Could it be about his name, though? Seriously, though. Could it be, like, Brett or Matthew related? Like, Brett Carr? Or I vaguely remember this. I did not watch the show, but I have – you describing it is scratching the back of my brain. Like
– I don't want to say it had his name in it, but neither of those things –
Car Kid?
You know, it could be something like that where it was, like, just pretty generic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can imagine the animation in my head just fine. I just cannot freaking think of the name.
There was a Speed Racer.
No.
There was I'm just trying to think, like, Speed Kid or Kid Speed. Kid Car.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like a specific era of cartoon, and that's what I'm almost 100% sure it's something generic like that, like Car Kid or Kid Car or you know, you had show like Thunder Cats. It was like, it's not
right.
Silver Hawk. Yeah. Tiger Sharks, they were like exactly, like you knew exactly all those shows were related just by their name.
Right. It wouldn't be called something like that Werner Herzog might call it, like The Boy Who Was Also an Engine.
Yeah.
You want to go with Car Kid or Kid Car? I don't know. I have nothing beyond that.
Yeah. I think I like Kid Car more. I don't know why. Car Kid? Kid Car. I don't know why Kid Car.
They don't want to deprive him of his humanity, so they're like, make him a kid first.
Yeah, I mean,
you know.
Yeah, let's go with Kid Car.
Kid Car.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect, guys. This could not have worked out any better for me. Holy cow! This is perfect. Like quiz edging.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm impressed. You just wrote this on the fly.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's one of those things that I've always thought about, and I've probably even thought about making a question based off of it. But as soon as you mentioned nostalgia, it made me think of this cartoon. And again, knowing that we're close in age, I thought that maybe it might be a shoo-in for you when you gave me those eyes. I was kind of worried. It only lasted 13 episodes in 1984, but still,
wow.
They stand out so clearly to me. The name of the show was Turbo Teen.
See? I knew Turbo Teen. See? I mean, I knew it was just something like just
Turbo Teen. The explanation for it, they refer to him as a teenager, but I did not want to give you that much information. That's why I referred to him as Brett Matthews.
You didn't want to put glitter in the question mark?
No, just like I did not.
You didn't want to put the answer just in the question?
Not this time. He swerves off a road during a thunderstorm and crashes into a secret government laboratory. His red sports car and him are exposed to a molecular beam, and they become fused together. He is exposed to extreme heat. He reverts into his human form. We're exposed to extreme cold.
Hear me out. What if instead of a fly, it's a sports car? It's the fly, but with a car and a team. We're going to sell millions of toys.
It's so
by episode 3, no one's watching. Pull it.
Well, like, how do you make a toy out of that? Like, that morphine was very specific. You couldn't. You needed to have like some kind of like liquid, like Newtonian liquid to.
That's what became Stretch Armstrong. They just took the toy and.
Fantastic.
Are you guys ready for a U.S. history question? For your next question for me,
definitely ready.
Yes, history.
It's a bit of modern history, a little bit, or contemporary history, I should say. Not a current events, but recent. What type of zoo creature was Binky, who was known to have attacked at least one zoo employee and two attendees in the early 1990s? Binky.
My zoo history is not very deep.
Wow, Gil.
Zoo history knowledge
fucked
is
up, man.
Pretty
Why
shallow.
Why do you care about zoos?
I know.
You guys might be familiar with the Harambe meme, right? We all know about Harambe.
Sure.
Yep. Binky was Harambe in the 90s. This captured the national attention in the 90s.
Didn't capture mine.
Nope. Not at all. Now, you said it's particularly a zoo. What was the question again? You said it was definitely a zoo.
What type of zoo creature was Binky, who was known to have attacked at least one zoo employee and two attendees in the early 90s?
Gotcha. Now, Gil, you've listened to enough episodes of this podcast. You've been with us pretty much from day one to know that I have a tendency to get pretty meta. And I don't think that this is getting meta, but I do want to point out specifically the use of the word creature. He does not say animal.
Mm-hmm.
for what that is worth. He said, what zoo creature?
Tacked one, at least one person. And what was the last part? I'm sorry.
One zoo employee and two attendees. In the early 90s. Three separate incidents.
Three separate incidents. Okay.
Binky.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, man, I feel like this is semi-sussable by guess, but it's kind of one of those things where you either know it or you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely not something that stuck out in my mind at all. Like, I was thinking of that woman whose face got torn off by a chimp, but that was her own personal chimp. It wasn't at a zoo. And that's really the only other, like, distant animal, you know.
Right. I mean, attacked by, I mean, you got to think of something that.
And you got to think, if they've kept it around for three different incidents, like, there must have been a nowadays, I mean, I don't know what it was like back then. Nowadays, you have one incident, and that's it. Like,
so it could be something endangered.
Right.
Panda.
Binky,
rhino.
Binky the panda. Binky the rhino.
I'm just trying to think of, like, what level of,
and you guys,
like, attacking two attendees.
Yeah.
Like, where can you interact. Attend and get close enough? That's exactly what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's something like a giraffe, maybe, where it can, like, reach its head up over. They do have things where you can feed giraffes.
Like, we have a famous rhino encounter. It made national news here at our zoo. Where the girl, like, slipped through the bars, but I don't think that's something that's, like, at most places.
Like, when did that happen?
That happened, like, a year ago. Oh. Like, a year or two ago.
I was like, maybe this is fucking Binky. Maybe you speaking on Binky right now?
No. This just happened within the last couple of years. But, yeah, what is something that an attendee would even be able to interact with?
Or something that could get to an attendee.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm kind of just, like, glossing right over, like, gorilla.
Or big cats.
Or chimp.
What about a cat?
Or big cats, because all those seem, like, pretty obvious, sort of.
Right, and you would think they would have them pretty secured so that they couldn't just get to attendees easily. But
I kind of like the sus that we were going down, though, with three times this thing had attacked people and they hadn't done anything to it.
Yeah.
What kind of fucking animal are you that you attack? I feel like it's two things. It's either something that the attack is not very serious, or you don't really have to worry about it, but then why are we really talking about it? And two is that this animal is so hard to find, so hard to keep around, that you're just like, well, tough titties, like, we're not going to put this animal down because there's only, like, five of them left. They have, like, the white rhinos, which, you know, there are, like, five of left or whatever.
Right.
We have, in the 90s especially, pandas,
oh, yeah.
Super, super rare.
And the other thing is, maybe it's, you also got to think, if this has happened three times, then they must have been able to get the animal off of the person fairly easily, or the animal just kind of did whatever and then left them alone almost immediately because.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going with the first thing, which is like that it couldn't have been that serious. Like, it was like a penguin or, like, you know, something where it's like we can kind of laugh about it afterward. It wasn't like, you know, something like a sloth. You know,
right.
Something like that.
But then it wouldn't be notable, I don't think, if it was.
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah, like, then would we be even talking about it? I don't know. I mean, it may have made, like, funny news, I guess. I kind of feel like maybe panda? But, I mean, do they even let people get that close to pandas?
I wouldn't,
like,
think so.
They block those fuckers off.
Yeah. Like, those are sacred. Like, literally, China like has to give you one. Like, you can't just say, have
I think
one.
They, like, exclusively give them, like, Chinese names, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe Binky, like, maybe he's ruining the pronunciation. It's actually Binky.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's what's happening.
Are you fucking up, Lee?
Yeah, Lee. Hmm? Is this all your fault,
Lee? Are you fucking up?
Like, no.
No. No? What do you think?
I almost want to go with... a gorilla would be too big. They would. This is sad, but they'd kill a gorilla in a second, of course.
Oh yeah.
Or like a chimp. Like they're like, nah, there's plenty of those.
Yeah, right. Buddy, there's a waiting list.
Yeah. What about like a white tiger or something? Like those guys are like tigers are already pretty endangered, and then like the white ones even like more endangered.
Yeah, white tiger's not a bad guess. We can go with white tiger.
Yeah.
I'd say white tiger or rhino. I don't know why I keep thinking about rhino, but...
Like a rhino, I don't feel like anyone ever get... Like I said, unless it's like what I just talked about, you would never get near a rhino. The reason I went with tiger is because those guys can probably get out of places you think they're secured in, right?
Right.
But they're really like, no, I can get to you if I wanted
jump
to.
Up.
Yeah, like.
And they're like, just like climbing up that shit, and you're like, oh, fuck. They come out with the darts and shit.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Hippopotamus, rhinoceros,
white tiger. Hippos actually are very.
And they're one of the most. They're like the most dangerous animal in Africa. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I don't see people being anywhere near them either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so either. But again, I think it would just be one of those things where, like, they get to
they
you.
They get to you, yeah.
You know. You want to go with white tiger?
Sure. White tiger sounds good, I guess.
We're going to go with white tiger.
Wrong. That is wrong.
Ooh, I'm sorry. No tigre blanco.
No. It was Binky was an orphaned polar bear that was housed at the Alaska Zoo in Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh
wow!
And Binky first gained mainstream attention after one of these attacks. A woman was trying to get through. She crossed two security barriers to get a close up picture
of
Binky, and it attacked her and took her shoe, which was photographed by a local newspaper, Rob Lehman of the Alaska Star, and that photo was then circulated on newspapers all across the country. Binky carried around that shoe for 3 days, actually. And it even prompted Binky merchandise to be created, including an official Alaska Zoo t-shirt that read, "Send another tourist. This one got away."
Wow.
And the Alaska Zoo actually revived this t-shirt for a second run of sales in 2015. And sorry, what were you going to say, Mark?
Oh, I was going to say something stupid. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, if you're wondering, was Binky ever in Harambe-like danger? The answer is yes. The zoo director did state that people that were working around the zoo's security measures to get in put Binky's life in danger as well. But thankfully, they opted to increase the security around the enclosure, which prevented any more incidents until Binky's untimely death due to a parasitic disease in 1995. So that is the story of Binky, who once captured the attention of the United States, Alaskan polar bear.
And that parasitic disease was mankind.
Ooh.
I was going to say,
where are the virus?
They're threatened. They're not endangered, but they are considered to be a threatened species, polar bears. So not when a bad sauce. Kid,
I had a shirt that had an alligator on it wearing a shirt. An Izod shirt, but with a human being as the little logo.
Love it.
And it said, "Send more tourists. They're delicious."
Ah. That had to be a reference to this, right?
And it had frayed ends on it, and it made me think of the Ultimate Warrior, and it was the shirt I wore when I would wrestle my friends.
That's awesome. I'm glad to know you also had a frayed shirt that you would wear when you wrestled your friends as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But was it fluorescent, and did you have armbands?
It was red, and I did not have armbands, though I did paint my face a couple times you know, gotta be cool. all right, here is your next question. I'm sure you guys have, well, possibly heard of this. At 5:12 a.m. on April 18th, 1906, a major earthquake struck what major city, leaving most of it in ruins?
Hmm. Well, two come to mind. San Francisco, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of how there is like a second city built on top of Seattle, basically. Have you ever heard about that? Where?
No.
Yeah.
I have not heard about this.
There are parts of Seattle where it's literally built on top of the old Seattle because it got ruined.
What?
Yeah.
That's like some crazy Minecraft shit. Like an underground old city and a new city built on top of it?
Yeah. Yep. Like, and they were running into some of this. They were building some huge tunnel in Seattle. And they ran into parts of the old city.
So do you think it's Seattle that was like the earthquake messed it up in 1906 and then they rebuilt it on top? Is that where you're sussing?
Right. Yeah. That's why I was thinking of that. I was like, I know at some point Seattle got fucked up by something and they had to like basically just start over.
That is fascinating. I was going to suggest somewhere on the west coast of the United States. Because that is where earthquakes, you know, much closer to the Mariana Trench. There's way more earthquakes over there than anywhere else. San Francisco, I mean, obviously has had its share of earthquakes. Which one happened in 1906? I've never heard that Seattle story, but that's juicy.
Yeah.
For quite frankly.
The thing was interesting, though, was the time. He also gave the time. Mm-hmm. Like, is that a known?
Like, I don't know. I think like that could just be his... you know, Mark's flavor on there, you know?
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
Can you read it one more time, Mark?
I can.
Thank you.
At 5:12 a.m. on April 18th, 1906, a major earthquake struck what city, leaving most of it in ruins?
Most of it in ruins. I mean, that is what you're describing, Gil.
It is.
Right? Of Seattle. That is... Let's go with it.
Okay, let's go with it.
Seattle.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The correct answer was a shout out to Gil's son, San Francisco.
Foiled again.
I was going to say, I want to believe. But that's
I loved
good.
Watching you guys suss your way out of that.
Oh, no. That is.
The Seattle thing is true, and it is very, very awesome.
Fascinating. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I did not know that. So, the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco.
Yeah, and so basically, I mean, not only were a bunch of buildings obviously falling down from tremors and from the earthquake, but, you know, a bunch of gas lines opened up, setting off fires, which set off more fires, and... ended up becoming a gigantic problem for the city, and they had to almost completely rebuild.
That city's been through so much shit.
Mm, yeah. Like, I knew San Francisco definitely experienced a pretty bad event. I just couldn't remember what, you know, the year and timing. That's the thought. I was like, I don't know.
Yep.
Both.
Yep. Earthquakes, fires, destroying it. If you're interested in some modern day destruction, check out the HBO, again, HBO documentary, San Francisco 2.0, which talks about, you know, the gentrification of San Francisco, basically. You know, peace to the people of San Francisco.
Yeah, definitely.
And elsewhere right now, especially. All right, so what's our last question, Gil?
All right. Between 1665 and 1666, Sir Isaac Newton was quarantining at his family home during the Great Plague of London. In that time, he had three major breakthroughs that changed the world. What were they?
One of those, I believe, is calculus, or what would become what we use as calculus today. The first developments, I think, of calculus.
Okay.
I know that he invented it, and I think that that was the period of his life where he started putting it together.
Gravity.
Mm-hmm. We know the famous cartoon of the apple. that is apparently based on real history.
Bonking on his big old head.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's Newton's law? Is that related to gravity?
Yeah, that's the one, I believe.
Okay. So, we'll say the invention of calculus.
Mm-hmm. Discovery of gravity. Yeah, Newton's law. Which is something like mass plus force. Equal. I don't know what a Newton's law is. I'm not going to say it. I'm not saying right. anything. Yeah, I don't know.
Just by saying that much, you sound smarter than me. So, and also, a lot of people don't know this. The first time he brought himself completely to climax.
Newton's edge.
Yes.
Newton's edge. That's what it's known as.
Going over Newton's edge.
He edged for because he was on quarantine, and I'm not going to say whether or not I have or have not experienced something similar during my quarantine, but he edged himself for 8 hours straight.
Which no one had done in history.
Can anybody tell me where Davis's edge is located?
Onlyfans.com/Mark's Peepaw.
The Lemon Discontinuity and the Davis Edge.
Lemonparty.org. LEHMAMN party.org. Please go on there. Oh my God.
Please somebody make that happen.
It's me as three old men sucking my own penis.
No, that's the other Lemon Party, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Oops.
Or is Newton's law something else?
Well, that's the question.
So we could do Newton's law, I mean, gravity and calculus.
And calculus.
But
he didn't discover a planet or something, did he?
Sure he did. Well-rounded fucking idiots. Sure he did. Yeah.
Make me so angry.
By idiot, you mean genius.
Well, yeah, because, you know, like I was saying, like when people say scientist back in the day, what the hell did it mean? Because nowadays it's like, oh, I do blood stuff. So I find out blood thing. Back then it was like, I'm an artist. It's like, what do you do? It's like, I wrote these fucking songs. I also sculpted this and I painted that. I'm like, those are fucking three completely different fucking things. Stop it.
I'm going to tell you guys
you
right now.
Do that.
This motherfucker was like 23 when all this shit happened.
Yep. Jesus Christ. Yep.
And what if I remember correctly, didn't he die a virgin? I am. For real? Wasn't he like a known virgin at death? He died.
Yeah,
young.
That does sound very familiar.
Yeah, so Newton's edge could possibly be a very real thing. I don't know if there's any documentation. But
8 hour climax, nothing else really compares.
Who needs human companionship at that point? Really?
Yeah. Well,
let me just say what I was going to say. Newton's law is that mass plus force equals acceleration, or mass times force equals acceleration. Is that right?
That sounds correct.
Is that the apple? So. Is that what the apple is? And is that Newton's law?
It could be. I don't know. I don't know if that's what Newton's law is.
What if Newton's law is
maybe
else?
Oh, what if he invented the fig Newton? Because they are not cookies. They are fruit and cake.
You got an apple tree. You've got a fig
right
tree
next to it. A fig tree. He's got some shortbread. He just put some fig preserves. God, I love fig Newtons.
Yeah, I don't think that's right, though.
No, I don't think it is either. I think calculus.
I think you're right. I think maybe it is an astrological thing. Or an astronomical thing. Rather. Not astrological.
He invented tarot cards?
No. Astronomical is what I meant to say. I can't believe I did that.
I just found out gravity. Yeah. Also, I pulled the
five
joke,
of wands.
The fool for you. The five of wands. You're going to have a really rough week. He pulled that for himself, and then a fucking apple hit him on the head, and he's like, fucker. God damn it, I knew it.
What if it's a planet like Neptune?
No, Neptune was found by some other guy.
Mm, yeah. So Newton didn't. I guess you're right. I don't remember Newton never being like, oh yeah, Newton discovered this astronomical thing. He might have been looking, but like we all do, he might have stood outside and looked at the stars and wondered what we're all here for, just as we all do.
Mm-hmm.
He knew exactly what he was here for, to invent calculus.
Galileo was the one that said that we all go around the sun.
Mm-hmm. Heliocentrism.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Heliocentrism.
And that's all we know.
Yep. I say we just go
Einstein with Doppler effect, if I remember correctly. Einstein discovered Doppler effect.
I say we just go with I think we just separate gravity and Newton's law and do those two in calculus.
I think those two are formally put as Newton's law of gravity, but we'll see.
Oh, you're right. Okay, well, all right, so yeah, we got to come up with a third. Yeah. So Newton's law of gravity.
Mm-hmm. Calculus.
Calculus.
I feel so good about those.
Yes. And then also, he was the first person to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
What if he was, he's taking notes a lot. He's doing a lot of science. He's writing a lot. Maybe it's a writing instrument, like a...
he invented the Moleskine notebook.
I mean, maybe not, but you might not
be... The mechanical pencil.
Ooh.
Ooh. The dipless ink pen. He's tired of dipping all this ink. They're fucking Isaac Newton, man. Yes, back then.
He hollowed out a feather and just, like, put some ink in there, and he was like, forthwith I will not dip thine quill in this shit.
It doesn't need to be retractable or anything like that, any kind of springs or mechanics, but he maybe, you know, that would be my guess. Is something
what
related
a random
to
third
writing
thing.
It's a necessity is the mother of invention.
That's why I was talking about the edging thing.
Exactly. We've already used the sus. Let's go with it, man.
Calculus, the law of
gravity.
Newton's law of gravity. Oh, that answer is so wrong. I feel so bad having two of them right and one wrong one.
Well, then what do you
got,
man?
I just don't know.
Suss with me.
All right. Calculus. We're doing math stuff.
Right.
We got calculus. We've got apple falling from tree. Maybe some other law of acceleration, law of, you know, maybe something like that, or like,
how about a chalkboard? Dry erase marker. I don't. I think it's going to be something.
The lunch break.
I just have this odd feeling it's going to be something not like directly science related. But if you want to go with something else, I don't.
All right, we'll go with dipless ink pen. We'll do the dipless quill and the law of gravity and the and calculus.
All right, guys. So you are mostly right.
Okay. Did we get the two right that we thought?
Well, one you got on the nose. Okay.
Ooh, all right. So, I'm gonna give us a wrong and a zero then.
Yeah.
Because we're mostly wrong.
Yeah. I think you guys forgot the part where I said it's three major breakthroughs. So it wasn't something insignificant like
Well, don't diminish. I mean, I for one am glad I don't have to dip my pen in ink all the time.
Okay, so he definitely developed calculus. Right? Like, that was one, and I think that's a pretty well-known one. That's the one I knew, right? The other one, he studied gravity, and that led to the creation of the laws of motion, not the laws of gravity, Newton's laws of motion, okay? But the third one is one I did not know, and I was like, I wonder if other people know this one.
Okay.
He analyzed light and color and discovered that white light is actually made up of all colors. So I can read this thing to you. So Newton also turned his attention to the study of optics and the prevailing wisdom that every color in the spectrum was a mix of dark and white light. He conducted an experiment in which he drilled a tiny hole in the shutter of his bedroom window, intercepted the ensuing light beam with a prism, and then placed a second prism in the path of those refracted beams. The resulting panorama allowed Newton to calculate the angle of each refracted color. More importantly, it revealed the stream of colors as unchanged, proof that colors were not modifications of white light, but that white light is comprised of all components of the spectrum.
Wow.
You know,
Dark Side of the Moon.
Mark, I let you down. I've heard this before. I remember
I've heard that story.
Yep, I remember that. Great question, Gil. I love
Yes.
The combination of answers that you're looking for there. And I had no idea that those were – I'd never heard before that those were all developed during the same quarantine period. That's fascinating.
Yeah. I'll tie it in here a little bit, and I was like, okay, I knew he was in quarantine, but I didn't know all this. That's 23 years old, man.
Amazing.
Yeah, I watched BoJack Horseman and sat on my couch. Yeah,
I've watched a lot of TV during quarantine.
Some people can't even be bothered to do that. But let's not get into that. Let's take a little break, and then we'll come back with a Rate My Question and our final questions. We're back. Before we get to our final questions, we have a Rate My Question.
Rate My Question. Ray Romano.
Hey.
Oh, real quick. The Ray Romano episode of Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend was so fucking good. Every episode of that podcast has been great. But the Ray Romano, it's great because you're listening to Ray Romano be Ray Romano the whole time. But very, very interesting stuff and a lot of introspection, especially into the world of stand-up and stuff. Very, very good stuff.
Did he mention us?
He did not. This was early on.
Okay.
So I think this is right when might have been before Ray My Question.
I see.
The infamous Ray My Question.
I'll
mention it next time.
I saw him in The Irishman. I got to say I enjoyed him in that. It was good.
He was great in that. Yeah.
I think I saw, I don't know how much of the movie he's in, but that movie, I think it was 3 hours, and I watched the first hour, and I was like, I don't know. It was like late at night, and I've never went back, but
It took me three sessions to finish it, but
okay,
it was good.
To know. Good to know. Yeah. All right, we have a Rate My Question here from Dylan. Dylan writes, hey guys, here's a little Rate My Question for you. Formed in 1998 by Damon Albarn and Jamie Hewlett, what are the names of the four animated members of the band Gorillaz?
Oh, god damn.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to be honest. You know, it's funny. I almost came up with an electronic music question because, Gil, I know you're a fan. You and and I believe the friend that kind of introduced us, your best friend Josh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Are both big fans of...
We are old ravers.
Yeah, and I am not.
Nice. Yeah.
I've never been a big fan of electronic music until an experience I had recently kind of opened my eyes to the usefulness of it.
Now, Gil, this was an album when I participated in the recent 20 albums, impactful albums meme. I think I tagged you, didn't I, for this
you
album?
You did.
I just knew we had a common interest in Gorillaz. Really. Yeah. So, and that's part of what struck me with this question. Like, oh, it's Gorillaz question. We got to read this one.
Gil's on.
Just coming in from Dylan. I can say that I can remember three of their names pretty well. And that would be Murdoch, 2D, Noodles, and then the drummer that is voiced.
Russell.
Russell. That's right.
You didn't know the one I fucking knew.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Originally Del, the funky Homo sapien.
How amazing. I was so worried when you got to the last name. as you were going through them, I was like, oh yeah. I remember seeing the video for Clint Eastwood. Mm-hmm. And then he says his name
Murdoch
2D, and I was like, fuck, please let it be not Russell. And you said Noodles, and I was like, oh yeah, Noodles, who I believe was the guitarist of Chibo Motto.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I actually got to break the news to one of my good friends who loves Damon Albarn's other stuff. He had no idea that he was involved in the Gorillaz also. And so I got to make that connection for him, and he was, like, mind blown.
Awesome.
Just to clarify, their full names are Stuart 2D Pott, that would be the singer.
Pott.
Murdoch Nichols, who is the bass player. And then Noodle, not Noodles, another Ironsides, Ironside type thing. I think Noodles is the guitarist of The Offspring, if I remember correctly.
Yes, you're right. Yep.
And Russell Hobbs.
Mm.
Wow, they have last names too?
Oh, yeah. They I'm sure they have a whole lore associated with them.
Oh, wow.
You know, when you get Jamie Hewlett, the cartoonist that invented Tank Girl or created Tank Girl, mm-hmm. co-created Tank Girl, you're going to have some deep lore, I'm sure.
Also, the first virtual band to win a Grammy, if I remember correctly. There is some information like that.
Are there, that sounds about are right. there other virtual bands that have won Grammys? So I'd love to know that.
There will be in the future, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As we plunge looking into the 21st century.
Looking for that Dio, Kurt Cobain, Tupac mashup supergroup, hologram supergroup. That's got Grammy written all over it.
I can wait for that. I will wait for that.
Dylan, great question. I give that an A. You know, it's
yeah. I give that an A. That's
it doesn't need old to be enough. Fancy.
Yeah, it's just mm-hmm. just
could not be worded any better. Yep. I'd give it an A plus. I mean, it's a good question. It is along the zeitgeist of what's going on now, and yeah, that's great.
Should mention though, he still has yet to stump us. You know. So,
well, don't fucking do
keep on,
that.
Keep on
Lee,
it, Dylan. No, I mean, you know,
it's so easy saying. To stump us. I, Jesus Christ!
What a flex! What a flex!
Yeah, seriously,
it's a fact. It's not a flex. It's a fact.
Double downing on the flex now. All right.
It's a little bit of both.
Dylan, if you'd like to write us another Rate My Question or Miscorrection or anybody else that might be listening, please do so. You can reach us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966 or reach out to us on social media.
Gil.
Yes.
Would you do us the honors of leading us off?
Yes, no problem. All right. Sir Tim Berners-Lee created the World Wide Web while at CERN, I never know. I think it's CERN, but
I think it's CERN.
Yeah, in 1989. To facilitate this, he also created HTTP. What does HTTP stand for? You guys might recognize it from your URLs, right?
Yeah.
At the very beginning.
http://thenono.com.
Yes.
I've seen it there.
Lee, how sure are you that you know this?
I would say let's say I'm 75% sure. I feel good about three of these and maybe the fourth letter. I think it stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol.
That is exactly what I think it stands for, yes.
So we feel pretty good as a duo.
And you guys are correct.
I've done my nerd time. There you go. Yes.
I want to let you guys assess yourself out of there.
When you said Tim Berners-Lee and then you said it created the World Wide Web, that was like, shit. That is all I know about Tim Berners-Lee. And you're like, he made it at CERN. And I was like, didn't know that. Here it comes.
Yeah, he's a scientist at CERN. I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Hypertext Transfer Protocol.
Transfer Protocol, yes.
Can you break that down for our listeners that aren't so tech savvy?
That's the protocol that's the underlying, you know, communication standard that he came up with to be able to talk to each other on these websites, right? And hypertext actually comes from another technology that was popular at the time. It borrows a little bit from on the Apple computer, they used to have this thing called HyperCards. Did you guys ever play with that on the old Macs, like the very first Macs?
I don't think so. I had the 5-inch floppies. I remember those.
On the actual Mac, there was a program called HyperCard, and you could kind of make like a database sort of thing where you could have like fake index cards, right? Cards.
Okay.
And you could link them together, and you would click on a link, right, in a card, and it would take you to another card, and that was, of course, revolutionary at the time. But they kind of take that whole idea and make an entire what most people consider the internet nowadays, right? Is the World Wide Web. They don't even.
Yeah, I gotta say, speaking of flexes, hyper as a prefix is such a flex. And every time I would hear hypertext transfer protocol, it would make me think of the term hyperlink. Mm-hmm. Which makes me think of like hyperspace, you know, all these things of hyper of like just being like fucking gonna, oh, gonna go here so fast. I'm gonna take you to this other fucking website. Your fucking balls are gonna blow off the back of your leg. Like, holy shit. Get ready. Fucking strap yourself in because this is a hyperlink. You're gonna fucking fly through the internet.
He's sitting there all super serious scientist at CERN and just like, you know what? It's gonna be fucking hyper. It's gonna be so good. I can't wait.
I gotta set my fucking background to Lawnmower Man. If we're gonna be talking about all this cool technology stuff,
yeah, access wasn't denied. Wasn't hyper mode like a in Street Fighter in some later versions of Street Fighter? That's always what that word reminded me of. It's like hyper, let's do the cyber style. Yep, and you could set it like, you know, the speed. Like, do you want to do slow fighting or do you want to do hyper mode? Wait, maybe like. Let's go slow. And my friends would be like, oh, no.
Wasn't Hyper Combo from Killer Instinct?
Oh, maybe it is. You're right.
Right? It's like, and it'd be a Hyper Combo and Killer Sweet. Like, it would just build up to like these super long combo names.
I think you're right. I think you might be right.
Lee, what do you think? You or me?
Why don't you take this one?
All right. Well, since we're on the nerd train, I promised a technology question. So here you go.
All right.
How many bytes make up a kibibyte?
A kibibyte?
How many bytes? I was hoping you'd make a stank face like that. How many bytes make up a kibibyte?
K-I-B-A?
K-I-B-I-B-Y. T E
E I
kibibyte.
Okay.
I've never heard that before.
Right, you go. It's one of those odd ones, and I can't. There are some that you go. You know, you go backwards, right? Below one byte, they still can keep the byte name. I've seen those.
Mm. Well, I don't think it's like that because he said how many bytes. So they would be supremely tricky. Like,
so it could be like half a byte, is what I'm saying.
Hmm. I see.
They do have how's ones that go juice? They go below one. Because it's, you know, it's byte, kilobyte, megabyte, terabyte, petabyte.
It's petabyte.
Mm-hmm. Petabyte. And then after that I'm just like,
Yeah, man, exactly. All right, let's say it's the next one up from a petabyte. Can we figure out how many? We'll either say it's a half a byte or whatever is above a petabyte, because I don't even know how many stages there are above that.
Right, so megabyte, kilobyte is 1,000. And
isn't it even 1,000?
Well, yeah, 1,024, but yeah. Okay. But they always round it to, you say 1,000.
Oh, okay. What, do you think that would be acceptable for these purposes, to round like that?
That would be up to him, I guess. I mean,
can
if you want to get
technical. Can we use a calculator
technical.
On this, Mark? Or?
No.
Can I use paper?
Yes.
Where's Newton when you need him?
Megabyte, and then
so this is an exponential equation, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be tricky if it gets up, because already at like,
so
you know, if kilobyte is 1024, right? So
right,
like,
so that's one. So we'll start. We'll say that's exponent 1, 1024. So we just need to count up. So kilobyte. Then, megabyte, gigabyte,
terabyte,
petabyte.
Yeah, essentially it just keeps adding another three zeros.
So we're at 6 right now.
Yeah, so that's mega. And then 9 is...
it's not exponential, but...
Giga.
Or is it?
9 zeros is giga. 12 zeros is tera. 15 zeros would be peta. So the next one would be 18 zeros.
18 zeros.
Which I don't even
So that would be one. Let's see here. Million, billion, trillion, quadrillion.
Quadrillion. Quintillion?
Quintillion. One quintillion, 200.
Yeah, and then like a random string of numbers after that, right? Like, that's the thing, is it'd be hard, very hard to calculate that going out.
One,
from there.
One quintillion, 24 quadrillion bytes, I think is what we're looking at, which no one would say.
But no, it wouldn't. It actually wouldn't work like that. It would be because...
It would be exponential?
No, because, like, you know, it is... A kilobyte is 1,024 bytes, right? But a megabyte is really... It's not that you just added six zeros on it. There's that leftover, that like the 24. Mm-hmm. There's the leftovers, too, at the million level. And there's going to be a bunch of those leftover numbers.
Oh, right. You're right. So, you're right. Damn it.
Yeah.
Shit.
It's really like 2 to the 18th power is whatever. I guess you could say that.
Well, why don't we go with a half a byte then? I feel better about that now.
Right. Like, does he looking for the exponent, or is he looking for just like half a byte?
It doesn't seem like we just don't know. I can't even. Is it a kiki byte? What do you call it?
Kibi byte. Kibi byte.
Kibibyte. K-I-B-I.
Kibi. Kibi. Thousand.
You know what?
Kibi.
This
one
also
thousandth of byte.
You know, yeah. Actually, what if it's like half a kilobyte? Like 512 bytes, basically.
Oh. Like, and there would be a time in programming development where that would have been, you know, you would have been dealing maybe in a half a kilobyte, because right. Files just aren't that large.
Right. Now it's like, that's nothing, but maybe at some point probably like, that's a kilobyte. It's 512.
But he asked how many bytes. So is right. one so half five, a kilobyte? 512.
12. Mm-hmm.
512. I love it. 512.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Now, you guys were getting a lot closer there at the end. The name kibibyte, the K-I-B-I is a portmanteau for kilo and binary. 1 kibibyte is 1,024 bytes.
Mm. So, is that not a kilobyte?
Yeah, that's not a kilobyte.
So a kibibyte is closely related to the kilobyte, which equals 1,000 bytes, as the prefix kilo is defined in the International System of Units. The unit kibibyte was established by the International Electrotechnical Commission in 1998 and has been accepted for use by all major standards organizations and is part of the International System of Quantities.
What is this, like HD DVD to Blu-ray? Like they were trying to make kibibyte a thing?
Yeah.
And then someone came out with a kilobyte?
That's... I'm going to call BS on this, whoever...
Oh, Zerbert. A kibibyte.
Because, yeah, like I said, like, that's what I was saying. Like, most people, you could just say 1,000, right? And, you know, people who want to get pedantic about it or whatever, it's like, now it's 1,024. And, like, yes, we realize that, right? But kilos in the word, right? So you're like, it's just 1,000.
Right.
Just to make it easy. And most people, I think, recognize it that way, but... To come up with a separate word for it just really grinds my gears. Like what? Just just
so
leave it.
Is well, it's funny that you started going down the alley of to the power,
right?
Because kibibyte is literally 2 mm-hmm. to the 10th power,
right?
Which is 1,024, mm-hmm. as opposed to just 1,000.
Oh yeah, right. When you're computing, you need those exponents. They come in handy.
Yeah,
indeed.
You don't want to be doing all that math all the time.
That was a good one. That's a stumper.
All right. I have a famous products question for you guys. Famous products to close us out here. What beverage was invented in 1958 by Omar Nedlick due to faulty equipment?
He accidentally created a drink?
What beverage was invented in 1958 by Omar Nedlick due to faulty equipment?
Not a lot of not a lot of information in this at all.
I'll give you one extra piece about Omar Nedlik that may help you out here. He owned and operated a Dairy Queen.
Hmm.
1958. Beverage invented by Omar Nedlik due to faulty equipment.
So what it sounds like here is maybe it's not like this person invented like Dr. Pepper, but it's like a name for a combination of something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not quite a suicide drink, but along those lines, maybe, or
faulty. Well, okay. So a beverage, because at first, mm-hmm. you know, when he mm-hmm. said Dairy Queen, the first obvious thought I had was Blizzard. Mm-hmm. You could picture like a shake machine, mm-hmm. not fully, but a Blizzard's not a beverage.
Rich, yeah, you can't drink a Blizzard.
Now, I will tell you what is a beverage that I think was a kind of a separate thing, but I know was kind of like taken in by Dairy Queen, at least at some point. And that is the Orange Julius. Is definitely a beverage. I don't mm-hmm. know in what way we could suss out that it could possibly be the child of malfunctioning hardware inside of a restaurant. But I know that it was for a long time, there was Dairy Queen Orange Julius. I worked next to one for many years. And that, I would say, is undoubtedly a beverage. Mm-hmm. Could be something where the machine pumped out too much liquid.
So like orange soda mixed with some ice cream, and they're like, hey.
It's something like that, yeah.
So I had no idea Orange Juice had any association with Dairy Queen. It's interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes me nervous.
I just didn't.
Yeah, I mean, the association that I have with it and working next to an Orange Julius Dairy Queen, you know, I picture Orange Julius being a thing. And then, like, maybe this guy who worked for Dairy Queen being like, oh, like, we can, you know, also make this or, you know, whatever the case is, or buy the rights for it or whatever.
Huh, interesting. To me, like, Dairy Queens are always separate. Like, they were their own, like, standalone buildings. And Orange Julius's were always in malls, like, in the food court on their own. No Dairy Queen to be seen. So it's interesting that you even had one that's, like, combined. So I'm like, is that... Like, maybe their parent companies were the same or something. Yeah. But, it's definitely a beverage. I haven't had an Orange Julius in quite some time. I can't remember the last time I even went to one.
Yeah, I haven't had one forever. I used to get those in strawberry Juliuses. Mm-hmm. I like strawberry Juliuses more. I mean, aside from that, other beverages or things that would be considered beverages, malts, you know, there's root beers. There's milkshakes.
Right, like floats or something. You know, but like, but period. That's something that I feel like he's looking for either. So he said famous brands. So it is probably not something generic. Like, it's like a name that, right?
Good pickup.
Right? It's a name.
Good pickup. That would make sense for Orange Julius then. It is a brand name. And I know that it is associated at least at some point with Dairy Queen. Mm-hmm. I could see it being some kind of malfunctioning, something with melting or something, that it becomes more of a beverage than a frozen thing. I think Orange Julius might be the way to go here, friend.
Yeah, what do you think? That sounds good to me. I think it hits with the brand thing, and, you know, definitely.
We're going to go with Orange Julius.
I'm sorry, guys. That was a great sus. But a little bit misguided.
Okay.
Gil, you're right. It is a product name that is also its own drink. That drink would be known as Icy. Icy.
Oh. Icy. Wow.
So, Nedlik's,
I've never associated Icy with...
never. I have Dairy Queen?
With Dairy Queen. Wow.
Right. So, he just happened to own a Dairy Queen, and that's where this event took place. His soda machine broke. So he started putting bottles of the soda that he had on hand in the freezer to keep them cool, and discovered when you froze them, they would turn into a slush. And so he sold those, and they became a hit. And he said, I got to get on this thing and have a machine that can just do this right out of the gate. He partnered with a local Texas company, the Johnny Mitchell Company, and got a patent for the Icy Machine in 1960. He originally wanted to call it Scold as Ice. All one word, Scold as Ice.
Oh, shit.
But he worked with a couple different marketing people, and they were like, Icy is the way that you want to go.
Yeah. I think that's a wise choice.
Right. You stick to the inventing, we'll stick to the fucking naming of Ding Dong.
The drink's Scold. Popularity soon caught the attention of 7-Eleven, who then licensed it, the machines, for the next 17 years, naming it Slurpee, and the rest, as we know, is history.
Huh.
Wow, very cool.
Fantastic. Great question, Lee. Yeah, great fucking question.
Thank you. Gil, great guest.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
After so long of saying your name and so long of knowing you, it's great to actually finally have you on.
Yes, I'm very happy to be on. Thank you, guys, again. It's been a lot of fun. And congratulations again on 101 episodes now. This is quite an achievement, I got to say. I don't know if I've – I mean, what, that's – at least 2 years of hard work. I mean,
oh yeah, we're coming up on two years.
Yep.
Yeah, we're gonna have our official intermediate 100 episode 2 year 2 years of making a podcast celebration next episode 102, meeting right in the middle. You know, not celebrating 100. We did have a 100 celebration though. We're just celebrating every episode.
Yeah, please. Why not?
Every other episode is just gonna be a party.
It's a celebration, bitches.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is there anything you wanted to plug or anything, Gil?
No, not really. You know, please listen to Lee and Mark. You're already listening to this, so you probably are already listening to Lee and Mark. That's not going to help, right?
Tell other people to listen.
Maybe it's your first episode, though.
Yeah, maybe. You know? Yeah. Go back. There's a whole back catalog of awesome, hilarious shows, obviously. But yeah, I don't really have anything personal to promote. I'm just a person on the internet. Man of the internet, as I'm sure many of you are out there. I did have some questions though, because like,
oh yeah, sure.
I was saying earlier, like the amount of work I had to do to come up with 5 questions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it took me a little bit. I'm not saying it was hard, super hard, but it wasn't easy either. Like, it took some time. Like, and I know the show is about also the craft of being a quiz daddy. I mean, quiz master. So,
or like, sometimes both.
Yeah. So I was wondering, like, how much time do you guys spend, you think, like, in a week, like, working on this stuff?
Oh, a lot. I mean, just the question writing alone. Well, here's the thing. I find that the time is usually filled. So if I only have, you know, a handful of hours to write a quiz or two quizzes, it's going to get done. They might not be my best questions. You know, but at the same time, I'm taking this, especially right now with the Twitch streams. I'm writing, or Kyle might be writing, 50 questions, you know, in a set. If there's one that is, you know, maybe just a little bit more of a what we would call a classic trivia question or something that might be a little bit obvious, you know, that can happen. But I try to fill the time. So if I have a lot of time, I try to make more questions more interesting. And sometimes, I mean, there have been some quizzes that have taken, you know, 8 hours a piece to write because you're doing so much research. You're trying to figure out, especially with Twitch, I have to come up with 4 multiple choice answers that might be reasonable. And for the podcast, it's almost the opposite. Like, that needs the dedicated time, because if there's ever a question on the podcast that I don't like or I think is kind of boring, that feels like a failure because I know people are going to be listening to this whole thing, and I don't want 1 minute of it to be boring. You know, I'd like at least every question that I write to be interesting. And I usually on the podcast, we provide a little bit of extra background information on that too. So it is, I mean, it is a part-time job, I would say, for sure. You know, being a quiz master, at least in the ways that we do it. Mark, any thoughts?
Yeah, I spend probably less time, but as we've discussed on the podcast a number of times, I usually have much leaner questions. Sometimes, I just basically just start out, I write during the week if I can through listening to podcasts and conversations I have with people. You know, I have a Word document or like a Google document that I will just like edit and throw ideas in. there's a question I almost asked today that I didn't, that I'm going to be asking tonight, that I heard someone mention a person and an event in history. And I was like, oh, like type it down, and I'll just like write something. So when I sit down on Wednesday or Thursday to write questions, I kind of sit down with like four or five or six, you know, kind of like little piecemeal questions that I can flesh out a little bit. And then from there, I just kind of, you know, gather other basic questions. And then if I have time to fill them out, I do. If, you know, with, you know, like little hints or playful, you know, stuff. But since quarantine's been over, it's been getting back to pretty much been like, who is this person? What's going on with this? You know, in a perfect world, I could easily for the 18 questions I asked at Nice Guys, it usually takes me about an hour and a half, 2 hours of sitting down, working on it, getting it handled. But with Lee and his questions and how they're like sometimes two or three questions in a question, that are all leading to the same answer, you're basically writing the question a couple times over, and then you're, how am I wording this? How am I wording this? How am I wording this? I need to make all three concise so the question isn't 5 minutes long, and I've got to make sure all of them are historically, you know, accurate or like accurate to getting to the same answer. I mean, it makes it more interesting, but it also takes a lot more time. It's one of the reasons that I definitely pare down my questions to be like, what is this thing and what does it do? You know, who's Yodathi and what does he do?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And even there's some restraint with the Twitch QuizKit interface that we use for the No Nonsense Trivia on Twitch, where the questions literally can't be too long. So right. It's almost like putting different hats on, you know, like what is the output of this? Is it going to be for the podcast? Is it going to be for a room full of people at a bar or something like that? Or is it going to be for Twitch where people need enough information that they can answer it, but not too much that it starts getting confused because you're thinking about all the hints and you've only got 20 seconds to answer? But yeah, it all takes some consideration and certainly time.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for putting in that time because it's definitely entertaining for people like me.
Thank you, Gil. And I'm sure our listeners are happy to put a voice to the name finally.
Yes. I have gotten to know some of them, you know, through the various games you guys have had during this quarantine. So that's been cool, too, connecting with people.
Very.
Very. Can't wait for your trivia on Wednesday, Mark, of course.
Yep.
Absolutely. I'm very, very excited to have it.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, as we've mentioned, the easiest one being by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Dylan, Tommy, and Tim. Our team captains, Gil.
It's Gil.
Yeah.
There he is.
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and David Holbrook. Thank you to our proverbial light keepers, Logan, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Sean, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and of course, Luca Money. And thanks to our Rumpelstiltskins, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.
Michael Centennial plus one.
Michael S.
Michael's still slowly getting back to normal.
Well, and as of today, they have announced they're opening bars this weekend. Mm-hmm. So maybe not as slow as some of us would like. And Michael J.
Michael June!
Yes, sir.
June's here, baby.
Already?
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or missed correction or even just a no note, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. We love hearing your voicemails. Had several on the last episode, so please call us. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Please go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. That's what this is right here, to join us there. And finally, I am begging of you, be like Lyric. Don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please.
Until next time, No Nonsense listeners, have a great week.
Bye.